This is PFW in progress.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch. Brian Morey.
We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life.
Paul Perillo.
Everything's under control. Situation normal. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here. No, thank you. How are you?
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing. Go home.
And Andy. And Andy?
Lando Calrissian. Scoundrel, you'd like him.
Hello, what have we here?
Andy Hart.
Come on, handle, buddy, don't let me down.
Frank the Tank.
I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
PFW in progress.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
And coming up after the show, John Rook and Patriots Playbook.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Oops, can't forget the webmaster, Dave Dudek.
Respect your father, will.
PFW in progress.
The Force will be with you, always.
Welcome to PFW in progress on this Tuesday afternoon, media day here at Super Bowl week. Fred is off parking the car as we just sprinted in from the Patriots media session down at Alltel Stadium in Jacksonville. Frank Totic is here, though. Andy Hart and me, Brian Morey.
I will say that you look a lot more winded than Andy from your little sprint.
Well, Andy's, he's in better shape than I am. But media day is complete, a day when pretty much 3,000 or more people, kind of collapse, if you will, on the players. I mean, it really is. You get like 10 players at a podium, and it's, you know, it's unbelievable. It's a spectacle.
It's
a media spectacle.
It's difficult to describe to people who either haven't seen it on TV or haven't been there, because it's just a spectacle. It's packed.
I don't even think if you see it on TV, you can really get the full effect of what it is as you're trying to walk through and find players and interview players. Of course, Fred Kirsch gives you the best that he can in Kirsch Chronicles. You know, he takes
right.
you in
there. Of course. Everydayampatriots.com.
I was hoping that someone this year would come up with something clever, you know, that we haven't seen yet at these things. You know how, like, the offbeat networks come and do stuff, but nothing.
What kind of thing are you looking for, Fred?
I don't know. Just, they have the annual kid who asks questions, and then they have the players interviewing players, and then, you know, they'll have some wacky guy in a costume, like they...
I did see one Philadelphia Eagle wrapped in bubble wrap, but I was running to and from in player interview, so I didn't get to see what that was about.
Well, they didn't do that for the Patriots.
Somebody was wrapped in bubble wrap?
Yeah, somebody's bat wrapped in bubble wrap. It was some Eagles reserve. I wasn't entirely sure what that was all about.
Did you see the refrigerator? William Perry?
I did not see him, but
doing
I heard
interviews for Jimmy
him.
Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel, huh?
Really?
Fridge? So, still big.
Big guy. He's a big guy.
Still worthy of the nickname.
Obviously
Ray Lucas, did you mention that?
I did not.
Doing interviews for ESPN2's Cold Pizza and doing some of the kind of wacky questions.
I saw Bubba Parris doing Cold Pizza interviews.
Who's that?
Former 49ers lineman.
Quite a few former
He'll
players
take anybody, huh?
On hand doing interviews for certain outlets.
Yeah, Media Day is just
what?
Out of control.
But more importantly, my recorder broke before we even got there, and I had to write everything down. I'm a little worried about...
Saves you transcription time.
Yeah,
you
know, if I can read it.
By the time you're ready to write, everything will be transcribed by the NFL cracked
Frank,
staff media.
Yeah, but then I can have everything.
Frank Totic is covering the Philadelphia Eagles for us on Patriots.com this week. And T.O. was obviously the big topic at Eagles Media Day, Frank. So why don't you fill us in on the latest with Terrell Owens?
Well, I actually was able to get in on Terrell Owens' press conference front and center right at the beginning, and basically said, I'm here, I'm going to play, and that's it. That's basically the crux of what Owens talked about today. He went on a variety of topics, everything from his teammates to Freddie Mitchell's comments to Don McNabb being an African-American quarterback in the Super Bowl to his choosing.
He told us that Donovan McNabb is an African-American quarterback?
He did. Breaking news. Wow. He talked about choosing Philadelphia over Baltimore. Basically anything you can think of, Terrell talked about, and his podium – which is among, you know, the 9 or 10 podiums that are set up for the bigger players, was packed for all 60 minutes.
Must have been easy to get to the other players.
Yeah, you know, McNabb and Andy Reid both had pretty crowded areas, and of course Terrell, but the rest of it was pretty open. It wasn't too bad.
Well, let's hear. I heard some inside scoop that many of the Eagles players were sniffling and coughing, and a lot of colds going around in Eagles camp.
I didn't notice it myself. Like in talking, I talked to Brian Westbrook, I talked to David Akers, I talked to Terrell Owens, of course, L.J. Smith. I've talked to all those guys this week, and I haven't noticed anything, but there are people who say, like, there's some guys have the sniffles.
Brian Morey is one of them.
Well, yeah, you don't play for the Eagles, though, but oh. David Silverman, our team photographer, was telling us that he noticed a lot of guys hacking, and Andy Reid, one of them, and a lot of the players. So another reason why the Patriots are going to win.
Just another reason, sniffles.
Sniffles.
Even though the quarterback had 103 temperature before the AFC Championship game, it performed great.
Reportedly.
That's because he's a Patriot.
Entire team, injury report, sniffles, probable.
Sure.
We all get the sniffles.
Yeah, that's William McGinnis. Everybody gets the sniffles.
I think, though, that it was a pretty tame media day.
Very tame.
Yeah. I think no big news coming out of it. I think the crowd was about the same as it's been.
Yeah.
No bigger, no large, no smaller than it's been.
What would you approximate the crowd at being? 500?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, more than that.
I'd say probably like 1,500.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
About 500 of which were working. The rest are hangers-on and people just walking around.
That's the thing I had issues with. I'm fighting through crowds to get interviews and going up to the stands where some players are and back down.
On his playing status for the week, saying that basically clinging to that line that if I'm healthy enough to play, I'll play.
There's a shock.
But he said he needs to practice. I heard him say that.
Right.
He needs to get a trust level and with his knee and know what he can do. Didn't practice yesterday because of the field. Was planning on practicing, and because of the slippery conditions, did not practice. I read some of the pool report. Did you read the quotes? Bill said, you know, we're not even going half speed, and guys are falling down all over the place. George Toma looked like he got a little upset. Because there was also a quote from him saying, if I'm asked to deal with it, I'll deal with it. Maybe they had the wrong cleats on, he kind of inferred, and said there was 3/4 inches of rain, and kind of making excuses.
Well, and I think the same article also said that the NFL had put like $250,000 into the field to do drainage.
Yeah, and according to Patriots Football Weekly, Michael Preston wrote how George Toma was the guy that they hired to make sure that the field was in good shape.
Well, they spent $250,000 on it.
Yeah. Well, you can spend any amount of money on anything, but if the guy doesn't know what he's doing, it's wasted money.
Whoa, you're saying George Toma doesn't know what he's doing? Point, the guy's a living legend
is, it's not
the agriculture
so much the
world.
Money.
Horticulture.
Horticulture.
My point is, it's not so much the money, it's that the person that they have doing it is supposed to be this big expert. And so when Bill Belichick says something, he probably takes it as a personal insult.
Absolutely. It's like George Toma saying the Patriots' defense looked awful or something out there.
Exactly, or they don't know how to run their team. You know, so... So we have a little problem going on here. Once again, with
Fieldgate 2.
Patriots practice facility not up to snuff.
Bill Belichick never happy.
How do you get the pool reports?
I tried this morning and I couldn't. I just read it
on the
Super Bowl story.
I just went out. It's heated.
You what?
I just went out there. It's heated.
Oh, is it?
You want the report from the pool? It's
well,
chlorine.
Frank Kirsch out by the pool.
It's the water is.
I'm Frank Kirsch by the pool, and it's heated.
One thing about
back to you, Brian.
One thing about the water in Jacksonville, it's extremely wet. It's a very wet.
It smells
water.
Like eggs, right?
Yeah. Dave Dudek walking in late.
What were the crowds like? What were the crowds like around Romeo Crennel?
Dave, what happened?
And Charlie
Weiss. Where were you? What's going on?
Why are you dancing? Da-da-da-da. You need music?
Well, no. Basically...
Don't sit down. You're not staying long.
No, but just got back from the media day there.
Right, we got back in time.
Yeah, well, we got caught behind the Patriot escort.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It was, had to keep 20 feet behind the last stadium, but...
Okay.
Brian, what were the crowds like around Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss?
They were pretty good crowds. When I went down, I was coming down the stairs, and there was I was like coming down, and he was in the Charlie was in the stands to my right, and I was like, "Geez, who's that already?" You know, and it was I just kind of peeked over. I couldn't even get in, and it was Charlie. So I didn't get to hear Charlie. I went down and talked to a lot of the offensive linemen.
I would think on a national level that the story of Weiss and Crennel probably coaching their last game in New England and coaching together is probably one of the bigger stories.
Yeah, no question.
I think it's a big story locally, too.
Sure.
I mean, looking ahead.
It's like the breakup of the triumvirate.
You know? I mean, there's all kinds of speculation out there. I mean, there's speculation that Pepper's leaving to go with Romeo.
Yeah. Dean Pease.
That Dean Pease is going to Miami. That Lionel Vitale is going to Cleveland.
Head of scouting.
That Thomas Dimitroff from scouting is leaving.
Who do we give our resumes to?
I mean,
seems like there's going to be a lot of openings.
Yeah.
Brian Morey has his phone ringing during the show.
Win or lose this game, there's going to be a lot to talk about during the offseason this year. New guys coming in, people leaving. What Belichick's going to do? How he's going to carry on? It'll be very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. No. I try to find out today if anybody knows what's going on, and if Bill has let it out, who's going to be the coordinators or what changes that we can anticipate in terms of hires. I couldn't find out today from people that I would expect to know if there was something to tell.
Was anyone surprised that as a Patriots employee, you're asking them who they're hiring?
No. I don't think so.
Were you surprised that you didn't get an answer?
I did get an answer. And the answer was that Bill doesn't tell anything.
He would never let on.
And even if he did, they wouldn't tell you.
He would never let on that he's even thinking
about
it.
That's where you're
right
wrong,
now.
Andy. See, sometimes I have relationships with people, you know?
Okay. Let me know when
Brian,
that works out for
Brian
you.
Brian doesn't really have a sense of humor today.
Not at all.
He's a sick boy.
It's because he's got too many phone calls to answer.
He doesn't... How about Ted Johnson? Get any news out of him?
No,
how's
you wouldn't
he
let
doing?
Me.
How's he doing?
You made me leave.
Yeah, well, we had to get going.
I don't know. I didn't talk to him. I was going to go see how he was, and I was waiting because Dr. Zimmerman from Sports Illustrated had him monopolized.
Well, it was officially over at that point, too.
Right, and so I figured, how much longer is he going to be? I just want to ask him, one question, but then we had to race out of there.
And almost died about six times on the way back.
Fred almost rolled the what are we driving, a Suzuki XL7?
Almost rolled it.
SU7.
Going around the corner.
FU7, whatever.
Well,
it was scary.
Do you guys...
He's cursing out state troopers.
Are you at all, resentful or about, guys like Chris Berman who come in and they're the show at Media Day? Instead of, interviewing the players, it's like, hey, here I am, and I'm bigger than everything else.
I did see people interviewing Chris Berman.
Yeah, it happens a lot, yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it.
You don't have a problem with that?
I mean, I don't see why you'd want to interview him.
It's very similar to the Fox deal that was going up on the second level of the suite inside, where Jimmy Johnson and Bradshaw and those guys were holding little press conferences so media people could ask them what their thoughts are.
Right.
I have absolutely no interest in that.
I don't either, but I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I would have an interest in talking to Jimmy Johnson about it, because I think Jimmy Johnson, if you could get him, one-on-one, I think he's a guy who knows Belichick pretty well and has a good relationship with Belichick, and maybe you could get some insight
right
into the game.
But it's almost like it's similar to what Fred was saying. The story are the players and the coaches, and they're becoming the center of attention.
No, there's no question about it. But like I said earlier, I think on our drive down there, if you're in a setting where you don't get to ask your question, and because let's just say, players having a media period like yesterday when there's only six players available, and you're trying to get a question in, and you can't because it's just it's so many people there and everyone's firing questions off and you don't get yours in. I mean, there's a good chance that you're not coming away from that with anything new, anything that we haven't already covered and written
right
during the season, because so much of the stuff that is talked about at Super Bowl week is repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not writing about Troy Brown playing defense. I mean, that's old news. But to everybody else in the country, to the Florida Times Union, to the New Orleans Times Picayune, I mean, those are what the Super Bowl stories are.
And those stories have already been in Sports Illustrated and USA Today and all the bigger papers.
And plus,
too.
You get the radio stations that all they need is a soundbite. It doesn't even matter what the guy's saying.
Well, I hate when they take guys for interviews.
Yeah, they just have the guy's voice on tape.
Why am I doing a one-on-one interview?
No, they take them off to the tables they had set up.
I
don't know if that was Sirius NFL Radio or who that was, but there were radio people there.
Sirius was there, and also The Score was there, too, I think. Wasn't
The Score from Rhode Island?
I think so.
Really?
I thought somebody said, hey, you want to do some Rhode Island radio.
Well, they're here. I know that.
Maybe it was... No, that EEI, they wouldn't have to say that. I know I saw our friend Pete Shepard again.
Well, I saw a lot of EEI guys. I saw Dennis and Callahan.
I saw John Dennis, yeah. Gained a lot of weight, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez, Fred.
I would, too, if I made all that money.
So are you out of your mind?
All right, Ryan used an actual soundbite there that kind of fit.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay, quick break.
Get some emails.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with a Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel. League news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
From first round pick in 2001 in Super Bowl 36.
Steps up in the pocket, he's headed sack. Richard Seymour. The Patriots' terrific rookie first round draft pick.
To three-time Pro Bowler and two-time All-Pro.
Ball is loose. Picked up by Richard Seymour at the 40, 45. Down the left sideline, Richard Seymour goes the distance. Touchdown.
Number 93 helped your New England Patriots win two of the last three Super Bowls. And now you can get a Richard Seymour autographed collectible mini helmet absolutely free. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is apply for the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free Patriots replica mini helmet autographed by Richard Seymour. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too.
I'd like to talk to you about a new checking account with unrivaled convenience. It's called Fleet Access Checking, and it's available free with direct deposit. But it's more than just free checking. It has no minimum balance requirement, and you'll enjoy free bill payment with free online banking. And if your check card is ever lost or stolen and used, just report it promptly and you're protected. Fleet Access Checking offers unlimited transactions at the largest network of ATMs and branches in the Northeast. And now, because we're part of Bank of America, Fleet Access Checking also includes free access to your cash at the Bank of America ATM network. Together, that adds up to over 16,000 ATMs coast to coast and unparalleled convenience. In the near future, Fleet branches will take on the Bank of America name, giving you access to even more banking products and benefits than ever before. Fleet Access Checking is the checking account that stands alone. To open an account, visit any Fleet branch. Member FDIC.
Back here, and what am I doing? I'm supposed to talk. Dave Dudek is waving his finger. There's no music. What's going on? What? I'm on, he says. All right. Well, we got a lot of emails coming in. I want to thank everyone for that. Brian Morey, Fred Kirsch here. What happened to Andy?
I don't know.
Andy's gone.
I'm here.
Frank's here.
I'll turn the thing around over here.
So we're all just a little bit discombobulated because we're trying to...
Is my mic not on? You didn't have my mic on. Gosh dang it, Duder.
All right. Let's see. We got some emails coming in. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. And a lot of excitement going on around here. Bob Doyle and Bob Heim and what's your name again? Brian Lowe.
Jared.
Alicia Mullen getting tonight's PVN together behind us. T and He.
He's working on something.
Is about to update the Chinese website that he's doing. We got guys updating, and Louis appreciates. He says, you guys have done it better this year than ever before with the live streaming, he says, of the NFL Network. Thank you so much. I'm at work and love having the NFL Network live. Keep up the good work and enjoy this week. Well, that is, we appreciate that. We thought that people would like that. But, see, you know, Dave Dudek, he's saying things. I don't even know what he's saying. You know, what do you want, Dave? That Dave wants to make sure that people know that he's doing it. We know that you're doing it, Dave. But that's nice of the network, though, to allow
I'm
us.
The dude.
Allow us
or,
to
his dudeness or
to stream that out. you know, I
that is great.
It's great.
And do we have to get permission for that?
No. Well, yeah.
But in other words, yeah, but we didn't.
I mean, but I think the biggest difference I've seen this year so far is the presence of the NFL Network. I mean, this is their show.
Well, last year, too.
They're everywhere you look,
yeah,
though.
Really, I think this year more.
Oh, yeah, way more this year.
Did you guys catch the Bill Belichick and Teddy Bruschi and Corey Dillon on the NFL Network last night on their shows?
Yeah. No, I saw McNabb and Webb, Dawkins, and somebody
else. I saw it.
Right,
they were playing,
left.
They were shooting some pool.
Andy, right after that, Rich Eisen and Terrell Davis had, let's see, who did that? Corey Dillon and Teddy Bruschi on. While D.M. Branch, Mike Vrabel, and another Patriots player David Gibbons were playing pool.
And Ty Warren.
What do you guys think about that format?
I like it.
I thought it was great.
I didn't see it. But I've seen, you know, that they've had all the press conferences live, and NFL Total Access is down here. And
wow.
I think it's great. I think if you've got the network, you really get a feel of what's going on.
Well,
it's incredible.
I think it's outstanding the amount of players and coaches they've had right there the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, they are the NFL.
Because that's something you're not... I mean, that's something we didn't get 3 years ago.
No. So, you know, despite what Brian thinks or says, it is a bigger presence than ever.
Brian has no
idea. Wait a minute. Did you not, you guys not notice them last year?
No, I did.
Not as much.
I did.
They did the same exact thing. They had the same set set up at the media center.
They had a whole setup
at media day. It's been the same exact.
Were
thing
all
last
the press
year.
Conferences done last year, in Absolutely. Front of NFL Network?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Backgrounds and
I
NFL
don't remember
Network
the background,
flags.
But they had them.
Did they
on
carry
TV.
All of that live?
Yes.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I don't know.
I think he's
well,
wrong.
You don't know. That's right. So shut up.
At the very least.
Wow. Screw you.
Not even close as many people were able to see it because I didn't have the NFL Network last year. And no one in Comcast had it. So, you know, I think they know that they have more viewers, so they're doing even more. So
I'm never happy.
You know. Sorry. Brian is in
No, we're wrong, movie. Fred. Brian knows everything.
That's right.
Well, Dana from he's previously from Wolfboro, New Hampshire, but now he's from.
Oh, I have family in Wolfboro.
He's from Gunnison, Colorado now.
It's a good place, Wolfboro.
It's
nice
a great
little community.
Show. I listen to you guys at work using headphones, and sometimes really have to hold back the laughter so the people around me don't think I'm crazy. The Kermit the Frog soundbite is hilarious. Just a few questions. It saddens me to think the season is almost over, and was wondering what the off-season schedule is for your show. Well, we do it once a week in the off-season, Dana, on Wednesdays from noon to 1. Just an hour show on Wednesdays. But then, you know, when the draft comes, we'll start doing more shows. And draft weekend, we're like
all 60, day.
All day on draft weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's
awesome. He says, also, I heard the Eagles are the home team. How is this chosen, and what does it mean for a neutral venue? Is this the reason the Eagles seemingly have better practice facilities? Their field did not look wet and slippery to me when they were constantly showing T.O. working out. Are the Pats going to change their practice location as they did last year? Thanks, keep it up, and I look forward to receiving in the mail 3 games to glory 3.
Well, all it means is that, first of all, it alternates between conferences. The Patriots were the home team last year and had a bad practice facility last year, so I don't think that has your home or away status doesn't have anything to do with your practice facility. So, you know, all it means is that the Eagles really get to pick their jersey color. That's what it means.
And they get a certain bench.
Yeah.
The home bench.
Right.
Yeah, the AFC and the NFC headquarters and practice facility is picked ahead of time. It has nothing to do with who's the home team or the away team. But it does seem like the Patriots never like their practice field.
It's because Belichick's never happy.
Well, I'll give you another
example. Last year
unless he has
really
full
bad.
Control over it, he'll never be happy.
I'll give you another example. Last year of how the Patriots do things, they insist on doing it differently. It's scheduled that both teams have their media day, and then they have their team picture done, I think, beforehand.
It's the Eagles was immediately after.
Immediately
today.
After, and the Patriots never – we always have ours on Saturday at the stadium before the Saturday walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And
because we're special.
We don't like the media there while we're taking the picture.
I bet you the other teams don't. I bet you the other teams don't either.
I think it's smart though, from a marketing perspective. Why should you give every media outlet in the world your team picture? Why not make that something that you can then market and sell or whatever?
Sure.
Sponsor.
Why not?
You know.
Sure. By the way, I just talked to Paul Perillo about the NFL media, NFL Network presence.
Who?
And here's what he said.
Yes, I agree with Brian.
So,
all right. Brian was
who?
Very
loser.
Eager to find that.
Hey, boss. You're a loser.
Jamie in Houston says, are you going to use the baddest man on the planet / Patriot squad question? Another substitute is, what is the player's favorite motivational movie? Well, we didn't ask any corny questions, I guess.
I asked some.
I heard so many stupid questions today.
Give me one.
Boy, you think Frank had covered 14 Super Bowls here. You know?
I know.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, you get the television and the radio people just looking for that one soundbite, and some of the stuff is so out there that if you're
But
working...
Media Day is the day for that.
No, there's
Media
no question.
Media Day is the day when, you know, it's more lighthearted. I think that's the day to cover it that way. You know, the next 2 days you get to actually sit down at tables with players. You get access just like you do today.
So if you're working on a story and someone wants to know about Meatloaf, you don't, like, roll your eyes and want it to be over with?
No, I think on Media Day you have to expect that that's going to happen.
Okay.
That's fine. I think Media Day is the day where that stuff happens.
No problem.
A lot of people get credentials just for Media Day, and they come in to do their silly stuff. So you got all week to do your other stuff.
All right. I would like to know what the genesis of Media Day was.
I don't know.
Did that start? The whole
God
Media
said,
Day
let
thing.
There be Media Day.
I wonder. All right. Brian from New Jersey says, okay, here are the teams they have played this year, the Eagles. And as you can see, the Patriots are far more dominant than the Eagles were. And I took into account the St. Louis was at the end of the year. If T.O. plays, go right after his ankle, says Brian. So Philly, 34-31 over Cleveland in overtime. Philly, 15-10 over Baltimore. 27-3, they lost to Pittsburgh. And 20-7, St. Louis beat Philadelphia? Oh, that was at the end of the season.
The end of the season.
Right. None of the Philadelphia regulars played in the last two games of the season.
So he's looking at common opponents. Philly beat Cleveland by 3. The Patriots beat Cleveland 42-15. Philly beat Baltimore by 5. The Patriots beat Baltimore 24-3. They lost to Pittsburgh, as did New England, by 14. They lost to St. Louis, and New England beat them 40-22.
I think it doesn't matter because they beat up on the Packers, and that makes them great, according to Brian Morey.
I think it's always interesting when fans want to bring up common opponents, because you listen to both head coaches, and the first thing they say is, we don't care what happened early in the season. We don't care what happened last week. We only care about what happened Sunday.
Yeah.
How about Bill Belichick yesterday talking about when he was coaching in the 80s, and, you know, it must have been a lot easier because he said all they worried about was the games against that opponent. They would study because they had so many games against the Redskins, so many games against the Cowboys. They just studied the last 8 games against that team and didn't worry about what the Redskins did against the Eagles or anything like that. Must have been much easier to coach back then.
Oh, there's no question.
He used to talk about Dick Vermeil when he was in Philadelphia. And just that they had, like, such a small playbook. It was easy to prepare for them. You just had to be able to, you know, block and tackle them and win the one-on-one matchups that everyone was so familiar with.
Right. Breaking news from ESPN.com from Michael Smith. Both teams well run.
Okay.
I think Andy Hart wrote that in this week's issue of Patriots Football Weekly.
Yeah, it's a little teeny 300-word sidebar.
It's all right.
Not a feature in the center of ESPN.com, the worldwide leader in sports.
What's the headline?
Michael Smith, both teams well run. That's the breaking news.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Jim from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I was watching Media Day this afternoon and heard something that I think is very telling as to why the Patriots are not as celebrated as the winning teams of the past. One of the reporters came out and said it to one of the players he was interviewing. You guys are boring. That is it in a nutshell. The team does not have the soundbite guys that other teams have or someone who does the crazy things that the media seems to feed off of. They just win games. Since when does a team or players have to have one or more of those guys to be a great team? When did winning become boring? Was it when the Patriots is the one doing the winning? I didn't hear them call Dallas boring when they were blowing out the Bills 2 straight Super Bowls and when they intercepted a Super Bowl ring from Pittsburgh 2 years later. Yeah, but they were also blowing something else up their nose back then.
They had characters. Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, people, I guess the whole team concept thing maybe bores people. I really don't.
Controversy bores people.
Do you guys agree that the Patriots are less celebrated than other Super Bowl champions?
No.
I don't know. It's so hard to tell.
That's what the emailer was kind of suggesting, and I just don't see that.
Well, you know, I do. I think it depends on the team. Like Baltimore Ravens, for example. Were they any more celebrated than the Patriots? I don't think so.
Not at all.
I think it depends. I think, you know, when the Cowboys won, they were like the big team.
How about the fact that Chris Mortensen wrote a story a couple weeks ago that said even if they lost, the Patriots were the greatest team ever?
Yeah. I mean, ever? How is that not
celebrated? Or one of the greatest teams ever.
Can you
get any higher than that?
You have a lot of national people who are saying that this is a Super Bowl win Sunday, you know, makes this the beginnings of a dynasty, and I don't see how that's not celebrated.
I just think they're getting what they deserve,
but I think people do label them as a boring team.
Well, being boring is fine, but to suggest that they're not celebrated as other Super Bowl champions, I don't see that.
I don't agree with that.
I mean, people kind of downplayed the Ravens for certain reasons, saying they just had a great defense, a crappy offense. You know, I mean, you're always going to have people are going to pick apart the champion, and there's going to be pros, cons, good things, bad things.
Built up to be knocked down.
Right. Do you think that there's kids growing up who are just getting into the NFL or existing fans who have discovered the Patriots and have now become Patriots fans? Like when we were kids, you became a Cowboy fan, Brian.
Absolutely.
And it was obviously because they were winning.
I think they were
a cool team to follow.
Absolutely.
I absolutely think there's kids who are 13, 14 who live all over the country who think the Patriots are the greatest thing.
That, to me, is the litmus test. If that's happening, then they're a celebrated team.
That's definitely happening.
And Tom Brady has a lot to do with that as well.
To me, that's the key.
And I would think
are they creating new fans?
I guarantee somewhere in the middle of Idaho, there were kids dressed up as Tom Brady on Halloween.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you checked with Ken Flanders in the pro shop, I would guess the numbers show that in terms of merchandise sold nationwide.
Then yes, they are a celebrated team. That's the key. It's the fans. Who cares what the media says?
Exactly.
But I think the media celebrates them too.
No, I know, but it's what the fans think that count.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what I wrote last night. I mean, everyone's, you know, killing Jacksonville from the media. Well, let's see what the fans say when they show up on Thursday. If they kill Jacksonville, then it's a bad host city.
I would.
But if the fans have a great time, then you know what? It's a good host city. Because it doesn't matter what the people getting the free stuff think. It matters what the paying customer thinks.
Don't you think that any host city that's like a mid-major city, that's not Dallas, Houston, L.A., Chicago, New York, would get the same treatment by the media?
Well, I guess that's a pastime of the media is to bash the host.
Basically, criticize everything.
I think the fans will rip it too, though.
I'm gonna go get my newspaper in a minute.
The fans would rather be in a city where they can just go out their hotel door and do stuff. I think if fans, the more they're put out, the more they're gonna rip it.
And I agree. And if that's true, and if they bash it, then this is a bad host city.
But it's so localized too. As a fan, I mean, the interest. If there's a good bar across the street from the hotel where you're staying, you might say, I had a great time.
Exactly.
If there isn't, then it's not.
I think Fred's right, though. The litmus test is definitely with the fans and how enjoyable their Super Bowl experience is, not with the media.
Right.
I got to say, yesterday we were sitting here and talking about how we weren't going to be cynical and bash the city. And you know, it's kind of tough not to. I don't think it's really.
But why? What's so far for you? What has gone wrong?
Now,
because if there was some kind of.
I mean, besides the hotel situation you had yesterday, which the city of Jacksonville, really, it's not their fault.
Well,
the fact that they don't have any hotel space is a big thing.
Okay.
But we haven't made much of an effort to get out in Jacksonville yet.
Well, let's find out what the people of Jacksonville. Here's the Florida Times Union.
Who's the quote-unquote people of Jacksonville?
Oh, the writer.
Okay.
This is the Florida Times Union. So the headline on this story is, "Go ahead, bash us." And it says, "Dear glamorous out-of-town journalist, how y'all doing? Thanks for leaving your incredibly cosmopolitan city to spend a few days here in the sticks. We know we can't believe we got the Super Bowl either. And we know that a big part of your Super Bowl fun lies in pointing out the inadequacies of the host city, even if it's San Diego, which is like the most perfect place on earth. Boy, you must be licking your lips waiting to dig into us. And then you get to go to Detroit next year. Lucky you. It gets even better. To do your big story on Jacksonville, we've saved you the trouble of having to leave your no-doubt completely unacceptable hotel room." We've done
checkmark. instead of hotel, that should be motel.
"After whiling away a few hours down by the cement pond, swatting at mosquitoes and gnawing on boiled peanuts, we've come up for all our colleagues covering Super Bowl 39, exactly 39 reasons to bash Jacksonville."
Are we going to read them all?
Well, I don't know. I'm just reading you the intro.
Let's hope not.
The first one sucks, so we won't read that one.
Okay, so while Brian is trying to figure, why don't you mark the ones you want to
Fred, read. I got a question for you, though.
Yes.
When you say fans,
yes.
Who are you talking about?
People who spend money to come down here to watch the game.
But are we talking about fan president of Gillette who bought his $10,000 luxury package, or are we talking about season ticket holders?
Because he's not the one who, you know, is really sacrificing to come down here.
Well, how many fans get to go?
A lot.
Out of an 80,000-seat stadium, how many of those are going to be quote-unquote fans?
It's not just they also estimate that of the people who actually get to see the game, another 100,000 or so come down just to be here.
The best line I heard today as the media were making their way down from the club level in Alltel Stadium down to the media day was one of the members of the media commented that Paul Tagliabue must have lost a poker game to the mayor of Jacksonville.
Well, all right. Yeah. Okay, well, poor Jacksonville. All right, well, Brian's coming up with all these reasons. Julian.
No comprende.
Writes in. He says, what do you think about the declaration from the Eagles being ready for the game on Sunday? When I get prepared for anything well too far in advance, I tend to ease up a bit toward the end in terms of preparation, which sometimes leads to complacency.
Yep.
I don't know if the declaration is some type of psychological ploy or just plain old cockiness. I just want to know what you guys think about the Eagles saying they're ready to play the Pats.
I don't know.
Do you want them to say they're not ready?
Well, no, but the question is, the Patriots have this philosophy of their game plan is not completely in until later this week. They're not fully ready to go until Sunday. They don't want to peak too early. Whereas Andy Reid basically had his game plan in before they left Philly. And, you know,
and
is there a chance that you're not ready by the time the next week rolls around?
What do you think? I think people are reading far too into it. I think it's two ways to do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Because a lot of the Eagles have spent this week saying, you know, we're going over the game plan. We're fine-tuning things that we want to fine-tune, you know, checking things that we want to check, just making sure it is how we want it.
Well, there's two ways to look at the 2 weeks. I mean, if they use the first week literally as a game week and then not the second week and it's just fine-tuning and, yeah, kind of going through the motions for 3 or 4 days, I worry about that because for the first 17, 19 weeks, you prepared on a one-week schedule, basically, to play on Sunday. So you had that normal schedule. And if you did that and, there was no game on Sunday, and now we're killing these 5, 6 days. I think it can throw you out of whack a little.
I would just trust both coaches to do what they think is going to get their team best prepared.
And you know what? Andy Reid, 9-0. After a bye week, since taking over as the Eagles head coach, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. I think
everyone talks about Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare.
I think it's great for us to sit and talk about what we think's best. But I would think that, you know, as Belichick does and Andy Reid, they both know how to prepare their team the best.
Yes.
And I don't really think it matters.
I'll tell you at Sunday around 10:30, who I thought had a better plan.
Yeah, exactly. That's the easy pick.
Okay, let me give you some of these. They're not all that funny.
Okay,
it's just that
Let's go back to Brian Morey on the Jacksonville.
This is written by a Jacksonville
Matt Sorgel. They're not all that hilarious or anything. It's just, you know, bashing the city. Reasons why the city is.
You're really
kind of
making
a joke.
Me want to listen right now.
Yeah. Jacksonville's original name was Coford, a Timucuan Indian word meaning hot, flat, boring place by the river.
Shut up. Is that real or is this fake?
No, these are real.
It's hot, flat, boring place by the river.
See, right there, I think that that's made up.
That's, I think that's made
tongue
up too.
Tongue in cheek, because
okay, maybe this.
American Indians would never make fun of nature and a land.
Okay.
They would never call it boring.
Why would it be boring to them?
Right.
Okay, so it's
as long as it had trees and places to get some.
Wouldn't
food.
Everything be boring back then?
There are so places to eat after midnight. You got a problem with waffles? That's a shot at Waffle House.
I like Chinese takey outy.
Okay, good, good.
That's out here.
Hey, IHOP's open all night.
Strip clubs.
Nice, jackpot.
Strip clubs here either have nudity and no alcohol or alcohol and no nudity.
That's why I will not
City
be attending.
City council members spent the better part of January discussing how many square inches of buttocks could be exposed by bikini dancers.
Bob Doyle, you're off the hook. We do not need to go to a strip club this week.
As unbelievably grim as it is here for you glamorous out-of-town journalists, we're actually all spiffed up for our big date with the Super Bowl. You should see us in the morning without our makeup on, because the city doesn't really look all that.
Where is the city?
Is Jackson,
the three buildings that are next to each other
is
by the river?
Is Jacksonville Southern? Put it this way. We have public schools named for Robert E. Lee, Jeb Stuart, and Nathan Bedford Forrest, one of the founders of the KKK.
They also have one named Public School Number 4.
There really are
Which is boarded up. I drove by that as well.
There really are Confederate flags in the windows of pickup trucks. We can vouch for that. Jacksonville's as red state America gets, and if you have a problem with that, you must be a girly man, defeatist, ultra-liberal who hates America. Yes, that's an ocean 15 miles east of here, but they built the city on a river. Go figure. There are two kinds of homeowners in Jacksonville, those who say they have cockroaches and those who are liars.
We know where there's definitely some cockroaches.
That cool Skyway tram you see running through downtown doesn't go to the stadium or the arena or the ballpark or the Jacksonville Landing, but it does connect a couple of really big parking lots.
Is that right?
I don't know. Good. It could be tongue-in-cheek. Jaguars, we're still making up our minds. Jacksonville is so boring, even hurricanes don't come here. Can't find a cab? Don't feel bad. Jacksonville natives have never seen one either. That's one of them there yellers, right? Last call in this town is 2 a.m. However, get your butt kicked because you looked at my girlfriend the wrong way. Time is around 1:45.
Bring it.
Yes, that was a restaurant sign you saw that said, Chinese takey outie.
Just off 95 on your way to the city from here.
There's a slight sprawl problem. Wherever you are, you're 25 minutes from wherever you want
to
be.
To be fair, same as Houston.
Today, Junior!
Well done, Dudek.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Dudek, that's the only good thing I've seen you do all day.
Sweet Home Alabama invariably gets the biggest cheers at Jaguars games, and we don't even like Alabama. Jaguars games almost never sell out. We're too busy doing all kinds of other exciting, fun stuff instead. And the city recently chose a new slogan, Andy.
It's not that bad?
Where Florida begins. Runner-up slogan, the city that sleeps.
Oh, he didn't get it right because one of them was Jacksonville. It's not that bad. Keep going.
Keep going. That's
362 miles till Miami.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Fred, you're not down on Jacksonville?
I'm waiting. I'm trying to have an open mind.
Fred's waiting to be impressed.
I gotta tell you what. If I could stay right here at the World Golf Village and just
well, this
isn't walk outside,
this is St. Augustine.
I know, but I mean,
oldest city in America.
Jacksonville really doesn't have anything.
You don't know that yet.
Well, we just drove through it.
No,
twice
not
in
really.
2 days.
Did you see anything you wanted to stop at?
We didn't go to the downtown
Chinese
area.
Takey outie.
Where were we?
We were on the fringe. We didn't go like.
I didn't see anything I wanted to stop.
We didn't
at.
Go to the River Landing and all that area.
Jacksonville Landing. That's supposed to be the place.
Is that where like the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like they had in Houston where they shut the streets
no,
down.
No.
What?
That's at the baseball grounds, which is next door to the stadium. That's in that area over there.
I'm not talking about the NFL experience for kids, right?
I'm talking about
places where you go drink and eat.
Superfest. Where they that's what they did in Houston where they shut down the streets.
Right.
Yeah. Jacksonville Landing is just like the
we going there tomorrow night?
Normal hot spot.
Going there tomorrow night?
I don't know.
Since the whole strip club idea out.
I have no interest in that anyway, Andy.
Especially when you can't drink and you can't see anything.
All right, the real Big Ben and Pitt writes in. He says, I feel bad about being arrogant over this game, but aside from turnovers in a Herculean game by McNabb, I just don't see the Eagles winning. But what really made me feel like a blowout awaits was when I was flipping through the channels and saw Corey Simons and another Eagles player on Best Damn Sports Show. When asked about Mitchell's comment, they merely said, oh, that's Freddie being Freddie. No one can really hold him down, so we let him go. And when asked about T.O., Simons replied in the same manner, saying T.O. is going to do whatever he wants, so the team better get behind him. Can you ever even picture a Harrison or Brewski saying something like, Dylan is Dylan, we can't control him, so we let him go? Not trying to be an Eagles hater, but there seems to be an underlying goofy, unprofessional attitude on the Eagles. Like McNabb and T.O. working on touchdown dances in preseason and telling the media all about it, or T.O.'s shorts in practice debate. Maybe it's the little stuff like that that is the reason why they have failed to get over the hump the last 3 years, and will again this Sunday, and why the Pats are the next dynasty, because the talent levels are that different. Just some thoughts.
Well, they may be the next level because the talent's different, but I don't think it has anything to do with T.O. practicing a sideline dance or whether he wears spandex or shorts or not.
I don't either.
It has to do with the talent. Can they perform on the football field? Are their coaches doing a better job game planning?
All right, what if the how much better would the Eagles be if they had the Patriots coaches?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I think they've done pretty well with what they have.
Right. In the Patriots program.
Well, do the players fit Bill Belichick and the Patriots program? I don't know.
But these are the type of comments that I think kind of irk people outside of this area and stuff.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's happening.
I mean, it's like, well, the Patriots program is the only way. Other teams win, Fred.
Right.
You know, I mean, other teams win Super Bowls.
You know, and listen to Willie McGinnis. I mean, just 3 days, you know, everybody says that the how can the Eagles win because of Freddie Mitchell? Willie McGinnis just said 3 days ago that they respect almost every player on that team, and outside of Freddie Mitchell, that these guys are professional, they are good at what they do, and we respect them.
That's what they say when the cameras are running, but that's not what they say behind closed doors.
Well, then they should be, then
are
they should
you
be
behind
honest.
Closed
when
doors?
When are you behind
then,
closed
then,
doors?
Then they should be honest and say what they really think instead of just going with what people tell them to say.
Well, that's not necessarily
that's
true.
No, then that's never going to happen. I mean, look at Michael Holley's book. We hear all kinds of things that were said about opponents that, you know, never saw the light of day until that book. Look at the Buffalo Bills, all the things they said about them.
That's the coaches saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh. Well, they're saying it. You can be sure that the players are.
So, but on the lower level here, because Terrell Owens practiced a sideline dance, the Eagles aren't as good.
How low can you go?
I mean, I've seen Patriots players playing wiffle ball in the locker room, and I mean, their own players making fun of them. Does that mean those guys aren't as good?
Well, even the picture that some of the media is painting this year is the Patriots came off the plane in ties and briefcases and suits, and the Eagles came off with video cameras and open collars and joking around. And just, you know.
Asani Samuel, what was he wearing? He's your starting corner.
He had orange pajamas on.
Yeah, interesting.
Right.
And David Patton, he's your starting wide receiver.
I just think
he had a video camera.
It's so interesting.
Those guys must stink.
I didn't write that. I'm just telling you what I read.
It's so interesting to me how Patriots fans tend to judge fans of other teams because they do things differently. It's unbelievable.
Woo! Spoken like a true Minnesotan.
I agree.
There's no way around it.
A true Minnesotan who has Randy Moss on his team.
They're not even my favorite team.
I understand your bewilderment. Jennifer writes in, okay, I don't know if it's because there's too much time before the Super Bowl or what. But there's one thing that's starting to concern me about the game. Now, don't get me wrong. I fully believe the Pats can and will win the game. But Brady has a history of doing poorly against good secondaries. And sure, you could say that any quarterback would have problems with a decent secondary. But it seems to be Brady's kryptonite.
Who's that from?
Jennifer.
Very good email.
Think about it. Brady usually has a problem with Miami, even if the Pats win, with Madison and Surtain. And when Marion was still there, last year the Skins with Bailey and Smoot. The Bills with Clements and Winfield. And now he'll be facing one of the top five secondaries in the league with Shepard, Dawkins, Lewis, and Brown, not to mention the freak Simino, Walker, Simon, and Trotter. So Brady will be facing a good secondary and pretty good darn linebackers and defensive line. So do I have cause for concern, or am I just grasping to find something to make this game interesting?
Cause for concern.
I think that's a great email, Jennifer. The Eagles' secondary and defense overall is very similar to Miami.
Especially, you know, when they're blitzing and they're manning up. I'm not sure Tom Brady is a big fan of facing man-to-man coverage.
That's why I think that they try to spread him out. I think if they spread him out and he can identify the blitzers and know where it's coming from, I think that they can... I'm not sure the corners are as good as advertised over there.
Well, I mean,
young.
I mean, they did play against that lousy NFC all year. I mean, it's not
that's
a big
true.
Deal that they got three Pro Bowlers.
That's true.
Would they have three Pro Bowlers
they're
if they're in
the
AFC,
conference.
Andy?
No, no.
Well, obviously, the receivers in the AFC are so much better than the NFC. That
well,
they
that's
had
what
it,
I'm
they,
saying.
They had an easy,
Andy's been telling me all week how the NFC sucks.
Easy 16-game season.
The NFC did suck this year.
So, I mean, what? So who did they cover all year? They went to the Pro
chumps.
Bowl covering chumps. That's right. I mean, are there any good receivers in the NFC?
Nope.
I mean, Isaac Holt, Isaac Bruce,
Isaac,
Troy Holt.
Isaac Holt.
Troy Brown can cover those guys. Am I supposed to be so excited that Lito Shepard can?
I mean, who else we got over there?
Nobody. Walker, he stinks.
Who's Walker? From Green Bay? Green Bay?
Where's Walker?
Who didn't he know earlier in the season?
Ray J. Caldwell.
Yeah. Richie.
Richie, Ray J.
Rache. Rache
Walker
Caldwell.
From Green Bay, you talking
Javon
about?
Walker.
Yeah, Javon Walker.
Walker.
Florida State.
How about Detroit? Roy Williams.
Yeah, rookie. I mean,
he's amazing.
Although, what are these
obviously
guys
he's
having
chopped
common?
Liver.
They have a quarterback who can't get him the ball.
So that's why these corners are so good.
Come on, you're not even going to pop back with Brett Favre? He's not even fun to debate with.
All right. Al from Valdosta,
Everett?
Georgia, he says, how do you, Ragu? He says, are any of the media from around the country trying to use PFW people as sources in terms of information about the team or insights as to who to speak with or what questions to ask?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
The local media asks us what to ask all the time. We're the pipeline of information throughout New England.
Well, it's true. We'll be on Comcast.
We will.
Friday night.
Who's we?
With Ed Berliner.
All three, four of
us? Wants
us.
I don't know where.
What time should I disappear?
Hello, I'm Amanda Clip.
I don't know why that keeps happening.
Amanda what?
Keep hitting the wrong button.
Can you hit that again?
I don't know what it was.
That's Heidi Klum.
She was going to say that's not what we're looking for.
She was...
Brian, Fred, this is usually the portion of the show where you tell Brian to stop goofing around and start paying attention.
Right.
Shut up, Frank.
Rhymed with spit.
Whoa!
Wow!
Wow.
Wait, I can say that word, Duder. It's a scientific...
You're just really snappy today, huh?
I can say penis, and I can say that word.
You can say what?
Penis.
Oh, boy.
Why can you say that?
I can say penis.
All right. Scott from Washington, D.C.
Genetic.
One anecdote about the Patriots being a celebrated team. Back in October, I was meeting here in D.C. with a colleague from Utah. It was a Monday, and my throat was raw, and I confessed that it was because I was yelling so much during the previous day's Patriots game. And he said, hey, me and my son are big Patriots fans, too. I was surprised, thinking that the Broncos or even 49ers would have been a more natural fit for someone from Utah. So I asked why he liked the Patriots. He said, because they're the best. That really blew me away. After growing up, seeing people from all over the country wearing Dallas or Pittsburgh gear because they were the best, it's amazing that the Patriots are in that same rarefied air. Well, that's...
Why is it amazing, though?
That's what I want to...
It is what it is. Patriots are the best team in football right now.
Yeah, but I mean, but people, you know, that's not something that's normal for
But it
Patriots.
Changes. That's the way sports works.
I understand, but
it never changes.
It never changed in the Patriots' favor, Andy. It changed a lot. But, I mean, that's the New England mentality.
You're a Cowboys fan, though. You should be able to appreciate how the entire country is behind your team at certain points.
But what I'm saying is, as a New Englander, that's just not something that people, it's like, no, that can't be happening. It's the Paul Perillo.
But it has happened.
It can't be happening to us. You know, that happens to other people. I mean, the fortunes of this organization turned in 2001 it was unbelievable. I mean, if you think about every time in this team's history before 2001 that they were good enough to win, something always happened, whether it be, some rash of injury or, you know, some controversial playoff call like the phantom roughing the passer call. You know, whatever it was, there was always something that went wrong. 2001, everything went right over the last nine games.
Why the NFL fixed it to go that way.
Well, I think either way, that was 4 years ago. So
I know, but that's what I'm saying. My point is that season, it seems like the entire fortune of this organization was reversed, like 180 degrees.
Reverse the curse.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more of your emails on PFW in Progress. Brian, take a break.
There we go. Hold on.
Brian.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with the Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home. Home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel. League news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
From first round pick in 2001 in Super Bowl 36.
Steps up in the pocket, he's hit and sacked. Richard Seymour, the Patriots' terrific rookie first round draft pick.
To three-time Pro Bowler and two-time All-Pro.
Ball is loose, picked up by Richard Seymour at the 40-45. Down the left sideline, Richard Seymour goes the distance. touchdown.
Patriots. Number 93 helped your New England Patriots win two of the last three Super Bowls. And now you can get a Richard Seymour autographed collectible mini helmet absolutely free. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is apply for the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free Patriots replica mini helmet autographed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too.
I'd like to talk to you about a new checking account with unrivaled convenience. It's called Fleet Access Checking, and it's available free with direct deposit. But it's more than just free checking. It has no minimum balance requirement, and you'll enjoy free bill payment with free online banking. And if your check card is ever lost or stolen and used, just report it promptly and you're protected. Fleet Access Checking offers unlimited transactions at the largest network of ATMs and branches in the Northeast. And now, because we're part of Bank of America, Fleet Access Checking also includes free access to your cash at the Bank of America ATM network. Together, that adds up to over 16,000 ATMs coast to coast and unparalleled convenience. In the near future, Fleet branches will take on the Bank of America name, giving you access to even more banking products and benefits than ever before. Fleet Access Checking is the checking account that stands alone. To open an account, visit any Fleet branch. Member FDIC.
Back here at PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Brian Morey, Frank Paddock, Andy Hart, and a cast of thousands behind us, busily working on tonight's Patriots video news. We don't have the reviews from Alicia Mullen yet. I haven't heard the reviews yet. They haven't come in. We're still waiting.
They're all positive.
All positive. All right. Well, so we'll have a whole bunch of new stuff on Patriots.com tonight. Updates. Brian Lowe falling over.
Alicia photo. Almost became the permanent host of PBN right there.
Photos from Media Day.
Oh, breaking stuff already.
Well done, Brian.
Alicia just became Wally Pipp.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all applies.
No, other way around.
Brian just became
Wally Pipp. My bad. I misspoke.
Brian Lowe throwing a hissy fit. He thinks he's big time now, and he trips, and he starts yelling at people.
I apologize. Yelled at Bob Doyle. Times to you. I'll get on my hands.
Brian Lowe, not a good guy anymore.
I misspoke.
All right.
All this has gone to his head.
Cool. He gets a little attention outside the team hotel. And next thing you know, he's like a celebrity.
Surprised they weren't interviewing him at Media Day.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Josh from Amesbury writes in, we Pats fans all know how well the Patriots jump all over their opponent from the opening gun. This is also one of the main strengths of the Eagles. Philly has trailed after the first quarter only twice all season, once in the Steelers game and three against the Giants. For the season, the Eagles have won the first quarter 114-54. That being said, the Eagles haven't recovered from a deficit of more than 3 points all year. Okay. My daring prediction, if the Pats open the game with a touchdown, it's all over.
Paul will be predicting the same thing, I'm sure. The Patriots, incidentally, outscored opponents in the first quarter 87-55. And what were they?
115-40 or something.
Wow. So the fast start will be a big thing Belichick will be emphasizing.
Bethel Johnson opening kickoff.
That's
touchdown.
That's noteworthy. You should put that in your notes today.
All right. Jennifer writes again, like one of the previous emailers, I don't remember who it was, I too listen to PFW in Progress through headphones at work. But unlike the previous emailer, I often laugh out loud. My boss is aware of what I'm listening to, and she usually just shakes her head at me. Although I'm currently looking for a new job, and that's now we know why, and I have a feeling I will no longer be able to listen to the show live. But hey, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Is it safe to assume that Jennifer's laughing with us and not at us?
I mean, it's probably safe to assume she's doing a little of both.
That's all right.
So, what else is going on? I got to get to some more emails here.
Webradio@patriots.com.
508.
Can we take calls? No calls.
No calls?
Dave Dudek can barely
can we call somebody?
Commercial break.
We can't call anybody?
We can't call Paul?
We should call Paul and check in on him.
All right. Ricardo from...
See if he's at the good food store?
Ricardo from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hope you're all having fun in Jacksonville. Who's sick of hearing about Terrell Owens? Personally, I think it's a bad idea to start a player who has barely recovered from such a serious injury. Too much to lose from a financial standpoint. Well, I think the money, you have to factor in the money with Owens.
I can tell you what Terrell would say about that.
What would Terrell say about that?
He would say, I think everybody who's out there, they're the ones worrying about my health. And when it's me, and I should be the one worrying about my health, and when it's me that should be worried about my health, excuse me. It's a good story for the Super Bowl and all that, surrounding my teammates and I and whether I'm not going to play or not, but I'm here and I'm going to play, and that's it.
Well, you know, I don't understand why they let this continue. You know, I mean, it's really not just his decision. You know, I think his coach has something to say about it as well.
Well, I think the trainers and the team doctor would have something to say about it as well.
And don't you think? I mean,
well, the team doctor's opinion is obviously irrelevant.
So what if? Yeah. What
No. That was his doctor.
That was
not the team doctor.
Owens' private doctor.
That was the surgeon that performed it.
See, now, but that's an interesting.
Same guy
dynamic.
Who ruined Grant Hill's career.
That's an interesting dynamic, though. I mean, this doctor isn't clear, but the team, which clearly has, you know, its own interests.
Right. Terrell Owens should be man enough to know that. I mean, he's
right.
Grown up.
No, that's true. Listen, I got no problem with it if the guy wants to push it. It's the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. I mean, I admire a guy who's going to say, listen, if I can be even 80% effective, that's good enough to help my team,
and
I'm going to play.
He said today he's not 100%.
And Richard went the other way today. Richard Seymour saying, I can't necessarily allow the situation to push me into something
right.
that I shouldn't do.
Right.
Well, I think you have one player who's played in, you know, multiple Super Bowls, and another one who hasn't played in a Super Bowl in his entire career.
We can say, you know, whether this is truthful or not, but he was asked, if this was your first Super Bowl, would your opinion be different on this? And he said, no. He said, this is just, you know, if I can play, I'll play. If I can't, I can't. You know, and that's all it is. It's very simple for him. You know, he's not going to go out, and if he can't be effective, he's not going to go out and play.
I think if Terrell Owens weren't healthy and he were going around masquerading, saying that he is, and that was the reason behind it, I think it'd be different. But I really think that he believes he's healthy enough to play.
Well, do you think?
He's going to play.
Do you think it comes? The difference is
no, but I think he believes he's healthy enough to play.
But do you think the difference between these two guys is that this is Owens' first Super Bowl and he just wants to play? And
well, I think
it has to play a factor.
I think that he's never played in the Super Bowl, and so. He doesn't know if he's ever going to get a chance to play in another one. And yeah, I think that helps. But I also think that, like Frank said, he thinks he's healthy enough to play. I mean, he wanted to play in the NFC Championship game, I'm sure. But he didn't. You know, he obviously thinks he's healthy enough to get back there out on the field and be effective.
You can, I mean, we can all choose whether or not we want to listen to Owens and believe what he says. But he said, if this was my second season, I would be doing the exact same thing.
Okay.
You know, and you know, and then you have Richard. It's hard for me to think that Richard Seymour, had he not played in the Super Bowl, you know, his decision would be the same.
Well, I hope he plays, and I hope he plays at 100%, because the last thing I want to hear in the off season is the Eagles lost because Terrell Owens wasn't 100% or didn't play. Right?
I'm glad you said that. I was worried where you were going.
Why,
I thought
you
were going to say, I hope he plays and I hope he gets hurt again.
Well, I hope
that's
that.
Usually what you say.
I hope that. I hope they go right for his knees and his ankles.
Do you hope he gets hurt?
I'm only kidding.
Sort of.
Fred would not be upset if Tia left the field in the first quarter.
You wouldn't. You would definitely pump your fist.
I wouldn't be upset.
Would you pump your fist?
No. I wouldn't pump my fist. I'd be a lot more happy than if it's, you know, Deion Branch going out in the first quarter.
Sure.
You know?
Given your choice,
if anyone's
yeah.
going to be injured, I hope it's their guys, not our guys.
Well, that's fair. You can't blame them for that one.
Well, why would you? You know, I hope no one gets injured. But if someone's going to get injured, it's
that's nice, Fred. That's the first time I've ever said that.
It's like General Patton. You know who General Patton is?
Of course I do.
World War II, great general. He said, in his biography, he says, you know, no soldier, and I'll paraphrase because he swears, that no soldier ever won a war by dying for his country. He makes the other guy die for his country.
That's right.
You know? So, Jennifer writes in. She says, going back, well, what's so funny?
You just make me laugh.
Why?
I don't know.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
But some people have to die for the country to win.
That's right. But that's not how you win.
Right.
And that's not how you win games.
Sounds like something that was said from a bigwig who was a long way from where the bomb was landing.
No, General Patton was right in the thick of it.
Was he?
Come on, man. He beat Irwin Rommel in the Battle of the Bulge.
He was a tank general.
The Desert Fox.
He was a tank general. He was right down there.
Yeah. He was down in the...
Battle of the Bulge.
In the trenches?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Fred shrugs his shoulders like he has no idea.
Jennifer writes in again. Bob's going to look up some World War II history.
Shut
for
up,
us
all
on the
of
internet.
You.
Rommel was.
Who?
Rommel tried to assassinate
Rommel
him.
Was the Desert Fox. He was a tank commander.
He tried to kill Hitler?
Scintillating internet radio.
Plus, all right. Can they hear Bob, or can I hear him just because he's here?
they can't hear him.
Jennifer writes
just one quick breaking news for Brian Emmett Smith to call it quits.
Really?
Oh, good.
Wow.
So now he can't blow you off again next year.
Good.
So Emmett Smith retiring.
Good.
And Rudy T stepping down with the Lakers also.
Good.
Not that has any relevance to the NFL.
Good.
Jennifer writes in again, going back to the Eagles secondary. They tend to play more man coverage, which is what Brady usually has problems with the Finns and Bry. Even though the Eagles haven't faced top-notch teams this season,
I was kidding.
That doesn't take away from their players. Athletic plays are athletic plays no matter who you're facing. The Eagles secondary can make plays, whether it's knocking down a pass, an interception, or tackling. They put themselves in position to make plays, and they can do it no matter the level of competition.
Jennifer, so Brian, I was mocking Andy, who has downplayed the NFC competition and the Eagles as a result. I believe that they have a very good secondary. I don't necessarily just accept the notion that Tom Brady has trouble against man coverage. I think a lot of teams play man coverage, and I think Pittsburgh played a lot of man coverage at times last week. Miami gives him problems because Miami's defense is very good. Their corners are very physical, very aggressive, and excellent cover corners. I'm not sure Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepard, as good as they are, okay, are in the same category as Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain.
How good are they?
Well, to that point, Dave Murphy writes in. He says, Lito Shepard shut down Randy Moss like he was a JV high school player. Who do you believe is better than Moss in your team?
But was Moss trying that day?
No, I mean, listen, I think Lito Shepard's a good player. I think that third guy, Rod Hood, is a good player. The nickel guy. I mean, he's a good player. He had an interesting... He shut down Moss at times, too. He had some opportunities to cover Moss in the first round playoff game, and he did a good job. I mean, this is a good, solid secondary. No question about it.
It's definitely difficult, though, to rate a secondary, to judge the level of caliber of cornerbacks in particular without talking about a team's pass rush.
Because mm-hmm.
you look at both Miami and Philadelphia, and they have very top-notch pass rushes. And the cornerbacks aren't asked to cover guys for five or six seconds. They're asked to play press man coverage.
But here's the thing,
and it makes a tremendous difference.
The thing with Miami, though, is Miami doesn't blitz very often. So not only are
they don't, you're right.
So not only are they playing man on the corners and playing aggressive, they have help over the top. I mean, they can be aggressive on the outside because they have the safeties behind them.
Exactly.
Because they're getting their pressure with four guys. The Eagles blitz a lot, and they bring the safeties, and they'll bring a corner out of the slot.
So
they're taking some chances, and if the quarterback can identify some of the matchups, you have some opportunities to make some plays. Whereas against Miami, you don't get those same opportunities.
And that's the question you have to ask, too, because I wonder, are you blitzing because you have confidence in your corners, or are your corners better because you're blitzing? With Jimmy Johnson, he blitzes. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he decided, oh, we have two great Pro Bowl cover corners. We can blitz now because those guys, we don't have to worry
about
them. This is my system, so I still have my questions as to how good those guys are.
It's the flip, but the flip can be true as well. Our corners are good enough to play the style of defense and to be alone in man coverage, so
right.
We can blitz. We can afford to.
And that was certainly
I'm not sold.
That's certainly
that.
What they used to say when Taylor and Vincent were the corners. They say we
right.
can blitz because we have absolute faith in those guys.
And they changed and they kept blitzing. So I just think that's what Jimmy Johnson does.
Well, I think that that those guys though proved that they could play.
But it's because they have a good pass rate. That
I mean, listen, it goes hand in hand with every team. You're not gonna cover someone for 8-9 seconds.
No, but my point is, a lot of teams decide we can take a chance because we have two guys out on an island who can cover. I don't have to worry about them.
Right.
I think Jimmy Johnson says, the way I play defense is I pressure the other team. I make them adjust. I make them make a play. And I'm not changing that just because my two veteran corners are gone and I have these two new guys.
Right.
These are our starters, and they have to do what we ask them to do. And, you know, it's been successful. They've been able to do it, but I'm not so sure that says, oh, well, they knew they could do it because they had two corners who could cover.
No, that's fair.
And from what I understand, they've blitzed a little bit less frequently against teams that can run the football, teams that have good, strong running games. So it'll be interesting to see if they back off on that at all and try to maybe run some more controlled type blitzes to fill some run gaps instead of just all out after the quarterback. Run blitzes, if you will.
Indeed.
Well, let's break this down a little further. You got the game in the AFC Championship. Let's talk about the Patriots' defense a little bit and how they had to approach that game. Obviously, it was run first, you know, run defense first. That's what Pittsburgh does.
Certainly.
And they stacked up against the run. They were able to stop Bettis and Staley, and Roethlisberger was not able to take advantage of that, and maybe Cowher wasn't willing to allow him to take advantage of that. But, you know, they ran the ball, 37 times in that game, Steelers? You know, it was it was a lot more than they passed. Now you take Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, you would say, has a much more balanced attack. Westbrook, he's not even a pure running back. He's more of, I don't know, would you call him an H-back?
I'd call him a scat back.
Scat back? You know, he's not the kind of guy maybe that you have to stack up against the run. You know, maybe you can stop him with seven guys in your base defense.
I think
he beats you to the corner and he's running down the sideline.
Right, I think he's the top.
Yeah, but your base defense should be able to contain an outside runner.
Before you guys jump down my throat, I'm not comparing him to Edgerrin James.
Especially in the 3-4, Andy.
I'm not comparing him to Edgerrin James, but I think he can have the same kind of effect on a game that Edgerrin James, because I think Philly is a pass-first kind of team. You know, West Coast, control.
I think anytime you don't have a shorted-out running game, you're kind of a pass-first.
Short, intermediate routes.
Ball control passing game, yeah, with some big play opportunities. But so I think if they can catch the defense a little bit, with some runs where Westbrook can make a guy miss, and then he can, you know, then you're talking about 10 to 20 yard runs here instead of 4 yard runs.
I did a story on Westbrook last week for Patriots.com, and I talked to a lot of the Patriots linebackers about him because I wanted to know, you know, what do you guys think of this guy? And every single player told me he's like Marshall Faulk. Every one of them, without even me.
That's scary, because Marshall Faulk is a heck of a player.
But the Patriots never have a problem with Marshall Faulk.
Fred, they didn't have a problem with him in the Super Bowl because of Mike Martz.
And they didn't have a problem with him when they played this year.
I think the danger...
Well, Marshall Faulk is pretty much done. When they played him earlier in the Super Bowl season of 2001, he killed them.
I guess the danger with Westbrook, in my mind, is that the Eagles use him like the Rams use Faulk. He's going to line up as a slot receiver sometimes. He's going to line up as an H-back offset of the quarterback. And if they can't run the ball, they're just going to dump it to him at the line of scrimmage in a short pass and let him get in the open field. And every one of the Patriots defenders, and Eugene Wilson brought this up, he said, you know what, he's a lot stronger than you think. He said he's a pretty powerful runner. He's small, but he's stronger than you think. And the idea, I think, with stopping Westbrook is definitely going to be gang tackling. Pursuing the ball and making sure that if a guy does miss, that there's four other defenders there.
Well, that's the problem, because he's not overly fat. Like, you think of him as kind of a breakaway guy.
Definitely,
but he's
quick.
Not.
He's fast.
Quick. Yeah. He's kind of Kevin Faulk, where he's not that fast, but all of a sudden he's 17 yards downfield, and you're like, how did he get 17 yards downfield? You know, he makes people miss. I think a guy he could beat is a Willie McGinnis. You know, I think that's a matchup. Willie had a lot of, you know, Super Bowl bang and Marshall Faulk kind of thing, but if you get the ball to him, I think he could make these outside linebackers look limited.
As a Patriots fan, I'd be much more comfortable with Eugene Wilson matching up with Westbrook than one of the linebackers.
You need somebody who can match that shiftiness and athletic ability.
I'd be very worried if it was Vrabel or McGinnis trying
to match up. But here's the thing. Here's what they did to Marshall Faulk in the Super Bowl that year.
Bang.
Now, Willie McGinnis, I mean, they would have plays, okay, where Willie McGinnis is lined up on the end, snap, quarterback drops back to throw, you know, Faulk just comes out of the backfield, and McGinnis just goes straight after Faulk and hits him. Didn't even rush the passer. His assignment was,
right.
I don't think you can do that against Philly. I don't think you can. People just assume, well, they'll just do what they did to Marshall Faulk.
No.
I think because that's leaving that perimeter free for Donovan McNabb.
Right, right. And that's the problem I was talking to you about, the fact that this is a unique challenge when you face two guys who some teams would spy. Some teams might say,
well,
Brian Westbrook, you need to go with it.
Exactly. No,
I mean, Westbrook played in that game last year.
They're clicking on all cylinders right now. I think Donovan McNabb kind of stunk when they played him last time.
I think Andy's point is well taken. You have in McNabb and Westbrook, you have two guys of defenses we usually game plan against.
And you know what I compare to is,
woo-wee.
You know, you watch college football, and some teams, when they play the option, one thing that they'll have a defensive end or an outside linebacker just take away the pitch. Just blow up the pitch guy. Make the quarterback make a play. Well, if you do that, Donovan McNabb may be running down the field. You know what I mean? If Willie McGinnis hits Brian Westbrook to take him out of the play, that leaves Donovan McNabb the corner, and I'm not sure that's a spot you want. Mike Vrabel said today, if he gets to the outside and gets to the corner and running, there's no one on our front seven that's going to catch him.
Exactly.
We have to hope he runs out of bounds, and I'm not sure that's
interesting
a good thing
stat.
For his team.
The
so they
Eagles
keep him in the pocket.
The Eagles are 12-1 when Westbrook gets 10 or more touches in a game.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, I mean,
10 touches is not a
lot.
I
know, but they've won.
I know, but they
runs.
Won most of their games this year, so you can make up a lot of stats. They're also
that's true.
12, just, you know, they're no, also just, 12-1 when Donovan McNabb throws over 20 times or you know whatever you know.
And what's their record when
Fred
McNabb
Kirsch
doesn't get 10
your
touches?
Little number, Frank.
Well, when you have a team that won so many games, they do a lot of things when they're
12-1. He missed two games, so they're 0-1 when
he only played in 13 games.
So.
He was inactive for a game midseason, and then he didn't play.
So they were 1-0 when he was inactive, though.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. All
right. So their best bet to win is
Let's take a break. When we come back, I have an email from Paul Tagliabue.
This is John Madden and Tom Brady here. If you're the kind of guy that needs a steady diet of NFL football.
Yeah, someone who simply can't live without hard-hitting action, last-second comebacks, and intense play-by-play.
If you want an all-you-can-eat NFL buffet, you need Sirius Satellite Radio.
You know why? Because every Sirius subscription comes with a Sirius exclusive NFL Sunday Drive at no extra charge.
Sirius lets you listen to the entire NFL. It even displays scores right on your Sirius receiver.
You can follow your favorite team wherever you are, at home, in the car, every week, everywhere.
Still hungry? You also get the Sirius NFL radio channel, league news, interviews, so you can satisfy your NFL cravings 24/7.
And if you like to tailgate, you gotta get the Sirius Boombox.
Right now, there's a special offer on Sirius Satellite Radio for Patriots fans. To find out all about it, go to Patriots.com today. The NFL and the NFL Sunday Drive are registered trademarks of the National Football League.
NFL fans, your trough is open.
This is one time you don't have to watch your appetite.
From first round pick in 2001 in Super Bowl 36.
Steps up to the pocket, he's hit and sacked. Richard Seymour. The Patriots' terrific rookie first round draft pick.
To three-time Pro Bowler and two-time All-Pro.
Ball is loose. Picked up by Richard Seymour at the 40, 45. Down the left sideline. Richard Seymour goes the distance. Touchdown, Patriots.
Number 93 helped your New England Patriots win two of the last three Super Bowls. And now you can get a Richard Seymour autographed collectible mini helmet absolutely free. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is apply for the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free Patriots replica mini helmet autographed by Richard Seymour. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too.
I'd like to talk to you about a new checking account with unrivaled convenience. It's called Fleet Access Checking and it's available free with direct deposit. But it's more than just free checking. It has no minimum balance requirement and you'll enjoy free bill payment with free online banking. And if your check card is ever lost or stolen and used, just report it promptly and you're protected. Fleet Access Checking offers unlimited transactions at the largest network of ATMs and branches in the Northeast. And now, because we're part of Bank of America, Fleet Access Checking also includes free access to your cash at the Bank of America ATM network. Together, that adds up to over 16,000 ATMs coast to coast and unparalleled convenience. In the near future, Fleet branches will take on the Bank of America name, giving you access to even more banking products and benefits than ever before. Fleet Access Checking is the checking account that stands alone. To open an account, visit any Fleet branch. Member FDIC.
Back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Brian Morey, Frank Taddock, Andy Hart, coming to you live from the team hotel in St. Augustine, Florida, just outside of Jacksonville,
right down 95 South. And it's right before, right after the Chamber of Commerce tourist stop with the 12-foot alligator. So
that does not actually say it's alive.
Right. But
interesting.
Did you notice that?
Interesting side note.
Phantom Fireworks is right up the street.
Fred wouldn't let me stop.
You gotta ship them home.
I want to fire some off tonight. Out back.
Yeah.
Stand on top of one of those Escalades I got lined up out there. I'll be shooting them off.
Sure. All right.
On my balcony. I have a balcony.
Got an email here. It says, hi, guys. I've been racking my brain all week trying to find a rule change that can stop these Patriots. I tried the rule emphasis on defensive holding, and it didn't work. I need some suggestions. This team is so boring, and they're hurting our ratings. Do you think I could force them to trade for Randy Moss so we could have some controversy? I'd like to hear your ideas. Signed, Paul Tagliabue. So, Paul Tagliabue writing in to the show.
I agree. Patriots are ruining the NFL.
Probably the best, boringest team in the NFL.
Yeah. It's no fun.
But why are they boring? What's so boring about such a great team?
The head coach?
Is Andy Reid, is he doing vaudeville out there?
No, he hasn't won yet.
What does he do?
I like people who have some fun with it. I like Pete.
He's heavy set.
Yeah, but I mean, what does he do that's so exciting?
Heavy set? What? Yeah, he made a bet with his wide receiver. He was going to wear spandex. Bill Belichick would never do that.
Could you see that? Could you see Bill Belichick making a bet like that?
No.
Look at it this way. You know how exciting...
I could see him.
You know how exciting it is when Rodney Harrison says something in the locker room? Imagine a whole locker room full of guys like that.
Right.
How great that would be.
Who aren't afraid to say something because they might get cut.
His package.
Whoa, why are we talking about packages?
Andy Grody's here. Why do I call Andy Grody? Who's Gary Andy Gradecki Grody? Is here. How did Gary Gradecki turn into Andy Grody?
I don't know. Only in your mind, Fred.
I'm tired.
We're just amazed, Fred.
Amazed?
Yeah.
At you.
Big ups to the G-Man.
Fred, did you get a haircut before you came down?
No, I'm just losing it.
I did.
He's got like a little poof going on right now.
I do?
Yeah.
It's probably the static electricity here at the hotel.
Why is there a lot of static electricity here?
Well, I've got all this electronic equipment around us.
Could I be getting cancer as we speak?
You could be.
Good, great.
50 years from now, they'll find out that Patriots.com radio is hazardous to your health.
I agree with that.
Webradio@Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@Patriots.com. Let's see. We got... who is this?
Webradio@DaveDudek.com.
DaveDudek.com. We just like to thank everybody for making a spike in his hits yesterday. Thousands of people logging on. They blew up his server. He had to call his server company and have it fixed.
You can check him out on DaveDudek.com.
He was very excited. He was very excited. These 68 people that visited his website.
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention about DaveDudek.com.
One more and it'd be funny.
If you are an eligible woman, and I emphasize woman.
Fred, eligible for what?
Heartbeat optional.
And if you want to leave a picture, a picture and a resume with Dave. Dave, what email address should they use? No, you're not going
to. There's a contact link on DaveDudek.com you can send to.
Now,
nude photos are accepted, so please send them along.
Fred, I think it's bachelor@DaveDudek.com.
Now, will you accept non-Jewish applicants, or do they have to be Jewish?
Do they
just
have to be that special kind,
yes,
Akhenazi,
or no.
Do they have
whatever?
To be Jewish or not?
You don't have to be Jewish.
Simple yes or no.
Do they have to be women? I don't know. Sometimes
okay,
you seem a little weird.
Fred, we have some ground rules. They don't have to be Jewish, but they
Andy,
do have to be
watch
women.
Yourself.
Okay.
You don't have to be Jewish,
now,
like Feldman.
Now, when they get to DaveDudek.com, is there a button that you can submit their profile? So they can contact you.
Now, can they attach photos to that? They cannot.
They
so how would they get their
how
photos
they get
to you?
Photo?
Fred, actually, by the time this show is over, I'm sure there's going to be an entire section newly developed on DaveDudek.com to handle all the incoming inquiries
right.
about
well, I mean,
about
if you know,
being eligible.
Dave is a single son. He's an only child, so you don't have to compete with any of the you don't have to compete
man.
With any
Dave
of the brothers
Dudek.
And sisters. You know,
you might have to deal with the mother-in-law.
But you know,
thanks for giving my life story.
that's okay.
From what I hear, you were giving it to Bob Heim last night when he was trying to sleep.
He was what? Trying to do while he was sleeping?
He was giving it to Bob?
Oh, boy.
And let's go to a break.
All right.
Thank you, Robert.
By the way, I heard the hotel is all of toiletries if anybody wants to go down and...
I'm sure Dave Dudek has already taken plenty of them because he usually does. He packs up his bags for future trips.
Is that true? You got all the things that aren't nailed down? You put them all in your bag, did you?
Okay. Brian, we can hear that.
That's all right. Sandeep in Washington, D.C. writes in. He says, every NFL expert thinks the Eagles and Pittsburgh are blitz-crazy teams, especially the Eagles. The Eagles blitzed a total of 3 times against the Falcons.
Yeah, because they didn't want Michael Vick to run right by them.
This is an urban myth created by the talking heads on ESPN and other sports shows. The Eagles blitz as much as other teams. Case in point, Culpepper struggled against the blitz against the Redskins in the season finale and had a great time sitting back against the zone of the Packers. So guess what the Eagles did? They blitzed Culpepper. Atlanta ate up the Rams' blitzing defense, and guess what Eagles did the next time they played? They played straight up and rushed just 4. Regarding Pittsburgh, they hardly blitz at all. It's just that they keep you guessing as to who will rush the quarterback. It could be a backer or a safety or corner. But they almost always rush 4 or even 3 sometimes.
You know, he's talking about Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes a zone blitz isn't really a blitz.
It's not a blitz.
Right, so when we talk about it, you know, it's one guy dropping off and a different guy coming, so it is still a 4-man rush.
Who was it saying that...
And there's always a linebacker.
I think Belichick, you know, the true definition of a blitz is only when they blitz more guys than you... When they rush more guys than you have blocking. So you have to rush more than 5 because you have 5 blockers on every play. You know?
Minimum.
Yeah, minimum. So
see, my definition of a blitz is any more than 4.
My definition of a blitz is sending more rushers than you would on a given play. If you play 4-3 and you rush 5,
that's
blitz.
Me too. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But the zone blitz is really not a blitz.
No, because it's just a swapping.
You're just swapping
roles. It could be.
You could send more guys.
Right.
But generally, you're just sending rushers from different areas of the field to confuse.
Right, the thing that makes somebody off.
A lot of times it is a blitz because they do send extra pressure because you don't want your defensive linemen covering for an extended period of time. The idea is he's supposed to get back and get in the way of the hot receiver so that he can't dump it off to the tight end or the slot guy. Then the blitz has time to get there and take him down.
Exactly.
That's kind of the mentality of it.
Sandeep goes on to say, that being said, Brady is great against the blitz and should have no problem against it. So expect the Eagles to blitz very few times and stack up against the run. The Patriots should try opening the game like they did against the Colts last year, spread them out, back up their safeties, and run with Corey. The Patriots will cover and win by 10.
Curry College?
By the way, don't say Philadelphia doesn't blitz, though. That's not a media creation.
No, they blitz.
And Bill Belichick talks about it all the time, how much they blitz. So
they probably blitz as much as any team in the NFL.
I mean, nobody blitzed the Patriots this year more than Buffalo in the season opener. Or not season. What was that game?
Week 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, week 3, that's right. But Philadelphia blitzes a lot. But, I mean, Buffalo blitzed on almost every play in that game and couldn't cover them well enough. The Patriots killed them on it.
Jennifer says, okay, sorry, Brian. I missed the sarcasm in your statements.
It's okay, Jen.
Which is strange since I'm like the queen of sarcasm. Of course, I'm on Vicodin today, so that might be affecting my thought process.
Thanks, Joe. I'm
and I think it was Andrew or Bry who mentioned the problems with the Finns being not only the secondary, but the pass rush as well. I can't recall offhand how Curse has done against Brady, but the Pats did get embarrassed down in Nashville in 2002. And they could have easily have lost to the Titans in both games last year. But like I said, I can't remember right now how much of a factor Curse was in those games. But if the Eagles stay away from the blitz and stick to just keeping pressure on Brady, I do see the game being closer than people are predicting. So
one thing's for sure, Jennifer. It's only polite to bring a bike in if you have enough for everybody.
Ah.
Fred could go for something.
That's an email from Brett Favre. All right. Angel in Richmond, Virginia says, what is the website... DaveSomething.com. It's Dave Dudek. D-U-D-E-K. All one word. Dave Dudek. D-U-D-E-K.com is the website.
How do you get to the members
only area? You can check
him
out on Angel after, you, Angel, after you've gone to the website, report back to us what you think of it.
And if you need us to get the photo to Dave, you can just...
Email it to webradio@patriots.com.
Right, attach it, and we'll forward it to Dave.
Do you mind? I'm assuming Angel's a female. I don't know. It could be a man, but, I mean, do you mind, you
Dave,
know, commuting
you're not
to Richmond?
Right now, are you?
Is that too far for you to have a long-distance affair?
You did the Washington thing.
You could work for the Redskins.
You did the Washington thing.
Turn your mic up.
You know, is that okay?
Hang on.
Yeah.
Okay. You did the Washington thing for a while, so you could go to Richmond. Man or woman.
Yeah, you did Washington. You were flying down to Washington every weekend.
Yeah, but that didn't work out. Weekend.
Angel's a beautiful name.
Not really for the long distance thing.
Now, do you
I was going to say, beggars can't be choosers right now, no?
Aw, Andy, now that's not right.
Take what you can get.
Who's a beggar?
Why are we shooting down anything?
That's not right.
Now, do you have a deadline that you've self-imposed?
Deadline?
Yeah, like, for what? You know, if I'm not married by a certain time, I have to go become a rabbi or something like that. Do you have anything like that?
No.
Did
you do that? You know?
No, I don't.
Wow, firing back at Fred Kirsch. Nice, Dudek. I like it.
Fred, maybe like one of those movie scenarios where Duder and his best friend say, you know, if we turn 40, we're not married.
He's probably got a chapped ass by now.
We'll hook up with each other.
We're gonna get hitched.
Do you have any of those?
No.
No arrangements like that?
No.
No?
Nope.
Do your parents have any arrangements set up like that?
No.
Okay. Your parents haven't lined up anybody to...
We're just trying to help you out here.
Nope.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode
trying to get
right?
you hooked up. Dead serious question here. Has your mother ever set you up on a date?
No.
Okay.
Is yours?
No. My wife wouldn't like that.
All right. Well,
your parents could set you up on a date.
Okay,
I'm just asking. What?
Yeah, but you were asking that with a little bit of an edge.
Oh, yeah.
Would you expect...
I've been to strip clubs with my wife.
Would you expect Andy to ask it any other way?
No.
I think the whole
bit. No, knowing what we know about Dave's mother from how he talks about her, would you not think she might attempt to hook him up?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't have a clue. I don't have any idea.
No. Well, she has.
Dave,
so.
The perception I get about your mother from you is that she is an active participant in your life.
She cares about my well-being, yes.
Right, but has an active role in doing so, though. But has an active role, kind of... You know, borderline,
you know.
The mother on Everybody Loves Raymond, kind of bringing herself into the life sometimes.
Someone
maybe when you didn't call her
to
bring
that,
her in.
But no, I mean, she's
well, the fact
to,
that you're wearing one of those ankle bracelets so she can see wherever you are, that kind of tipped us off a little
GPS
bit.
You know, I was wondering when he stepped across the sidewalk.
Just a little bit.
I was wondering when he walked across the sidewalk why his ankle was beeping.
Yeah.
And he had to jump back to the other side.
And suddenly I started convulsing.
Dave, step back. Dave alert.
You guys have fun over there?
Jim from Roanoke, North Carolina.
I think it's nice that your mother cares about
you. Your mother doesn't listen, does she?
He says, Jim says that the Eagles' defensive backs are good, but if you watch the replay of one of their interceptions against Vic and the Falcons, Vic's pass to Crumpler was so underthrown that Dawkins had to stop and go to his knees to pick it off.
Yeah.
Crumpler had Dawkins beat, and Vic could not get the ball to him. Do you think Brady would be that off with his passes? I think we have receivers who can beat the coverage by the Eagles, and Brady will get the passes to them most of the time.
That play almost seemed like a miscommunication or a misread on one of their parts, because Crumpler just kept running down the field, and it was an awful throw by Vic.
I don't think there's any doubt the Patriots receivers can beat the members of the Philadelphia secondary. The premise is Brady going to have enough time to get them the ball after they beat them?
Right.
And that's the whole point of the Philadelphia pass rush.
Well, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean... You know, God forbid if the Eagles pull this game off. I mean, now what? I mean, because...
Dynasty's done.
You know,
no.
Were the Patriots just not as good as we thought they were?
No, I think the Eagles were better than we
Much
thought
better
they were.
Than we thought.
Yeah,
they were.
I don't...
Because Patriots, I think the Eagles are a very good team. And the more I look at them, I know I do this every time, but, you know, I think this game... Philadelphia could easily win this game. I think the Patriots, as I've said the last couple of weeks, I think Bill Belichick finds a way to get it done, but...
Why didn't the NFL just hire you to cover the practice field?
Why?
You're a tarp.
Whatever. I mean, listen, all I'm saying is Philadelphia is... People just dismiss them. Oh, God. It's not like they're Carolina. And Carolina almost beat the Patriots last year. But Carolina came out of nowhere last year. Philadelphia has been consistently dominant in the NFC.
Do you think Carolina would have almost beat the Patriots if Eugene Wilson and Rodney Harrison had not gotten hurt?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They were out for like the tying touchdown drive. That's it.
One of them was out longer than that.
Eugene Wilson got hurt on the 85-yard pass in which he got beat on.
I think though, if you look back at that Super Bowl, Carolina got back in that game with the big play.
Yes.
And
the
Patriots aren't giving up the big play this year.
The Patriots weren't giving up the big play last year either, Frank.
No, all of a sudden, though, they started in that game.
I mean, did Pittsburgh give up big plays all year?
You know, Patriots could have been
they
up.
They gave up some in the AFC Championship game.
If Brady hadn't thrown that pick in the end zone, that game would have been over.
If Jake Delhomme didn't fumble, Fred, I mean, you can't say that.
I can't say that. I just did.
But that's but it's ridiculous.
Josh from Amesbury. Awesome job today, as always. Someone has to suffer in Jacksonville to relay all the info to us back home. We know Westbrook is an impact player, and you guys think the Eagles will pass to run. Do you think Dylan will prove to be the better player on Sunday in terms of overall impact on the game? The Eagles have a solid front seven and a Pro Bowl secondary, which the Pats will pick on until it cracks. Run to pass or pass to run? Also, how the hell is Dylan getting so little chatter? He's only the best running back in Patriots history. Why don't more people talk about Dylan?
Was Dylan out for as one of the podium interviews today?
Yeah, he had his own booth.
Yeah.
I do not care about the numbers.
I think Dylan has been getting some attention this week. You know, he came down. Some of the reason Dylan hasn't been getting a lot of ink through the season is because he hasn't talked. He's been very absent, you know, in the locker room during media time.
I don't think he appeared in the locker room once during the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, so it's very difficult to write about somebody when you can't talk to him. He talked yesterday. He talked again today, obviously, at media day. And I think people are writing about him. But, you know, I mean, most of the questions he's getting are just rehashing stuff that he's already answered.
Unlike LaDainian Tomlinson and Preece Combs, and you can make the case for Jamal Lewis in Baltimore, Corey Dillon isn't the star of this team.
Right.
It's two people. It's Tom Brady and it's Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Those two people are the stars of this
team. Definitely.
And, you know, it's not like Emmitt Smith. It's, you know,
Richard Seymour's pretty good.
But he's not the star of the team. He's not even close.
Brady and Belichick are the faces of this organization.
That's right. Other teams that have a running back as good as Dylan, naturally that person becomes the star of this team, but not on this team.
I also think part of that equation, Fred, is that this is Corey Dillon's first year in New England.
Sure.
And if he had been here for 4 or 5 years and was doing this year after year, I think maybe over time that would change.
Yep, I think you're right. But what about Josh's other question? Do you run to pass or do you pass to run?
This week?
Is that the question?
Yes. No, next week.
No, in the Pro Bowl. No, this week.
I thought he meant in general. Jerk.
Well, let's just talk about this week.
This week, what do? I think I run to pass.
You run to pass?
Yeah.
If I'm New England, I run to pass.
Okay. Brian?
I pass to run.
Of course you do. Because they said that.
But sometimes he'll run to pass because he needs to cover both sides.
No, I'm spreading him out. I'm going four wide with a single back.
All right.
On the second play of the game.
Give me
shut up, all of you.
Let's hear
Tom
everyone's
Brady's
reasoning.
His teeth out of his pants.
Let's hear everyone's reasoning. Brian, why are you spreading them out? Going, you know, first and.
Well, first of all, I want to try to attack their third and fourth defensive backs, cornerbacks. So I want to spread them out. I want them to force them to basically declare who's rushing, because when the defense is spread, you know, you don't have as many people in the box. It's easier to identify the blitzers. I think, and it's also, I think you can still run out of the spread formation and maybe get some creases for Dylan to hit some bigger plays. But basically to make it easier for the offensive line and for Brady to pick up that blitz.
Okay, but you're talking more formation. And like you just said, you can still run out of that formation. But what do you actually do? What plays do you actually run? Do you run running plays first or passing plays first?
I want to loosen them up. I want to loosen the secondary up by throwing the ball.
So you want to throw it.
I'm doing the opposite. And I'm going with Corey Dillon early and going with Corey Dillon often. I think the best way to neutralize the blitz is to go with play action. And in talking with Brian Dawkins, he said that they have the most trouble when teams can run and then can play action pass off that run. That forces the safeties to come out of the box. And I think the Patriots have proven they can do both. They can pass and then run.
But you can still play action out of the four wide.
But it's it's clearly more of a threat to play action after you've had success running the ball. And the question is, do you run to set up the pass or do you pass to set up the run?
But don't you think, though, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with your theory there. But I'm saying that coming into this game, they already know what Corey Dillon can do. So play action is going to be effective early in the game anyway. They have to respect the run. So,
and play action will also be effective in the third and fourth quarter if he's run for 115 yards.
Of course it will, but I think it's effective from the outset. So I don't think you have to necessarily come in and make it a priority to establish that right away so that play action's effective.
I think
you come in with respect for the Philadelphia already has respect for your ground game, so you already have play action in your arsenal.
See, I think that respect grows the first time Corey Dillon goes by somebody.
Same here.
Okay, so what if he doesn't? Then you lose play action.
So you're telling me, okay, you can't do it. Well, what if you can't spread the ball and complete passes? Then you lose the game.
Sure.
If you don't do what you want to do, you lose the game.
Right.
But you have to go in with a plan and attempt to establish something. You can't assume you're not going to be able to
and
do
so you
it.
Don't, so you
That's
don't
the
think,
dumbest thing I've ever you heard. Don't think then play you can't action, play the game.
You don't think play action is effective from the outset of that game?
I think it's more effective run it or not? If you beat them first.
Yes.
If you establish the run.
See, I mean, I obviously think
that puts it directly in their head. Oh my God!
I don't.
They're running the ball on us.
I
can't just rush the quarterback because he'll run right by.
Sure. If you do that, obviously play action is effective. I'm telling you that I don't think you need to do that because I think it's effective from the outset.
I agree with Frank. I think you line up. You play. You know, you have Daniel Graham in there, and you're pounding on
exactly.
the just off tackle, off tackle, off tackle. Just giving the ball, pounding it, and that'll open up the whole playing.
Brian, what do you consider the strengths of the Philadelphia defense?
I think their whole defense. I think the linebackers are very good. No, I do. I mean, they have how many Pro Bowlers they have on defense? Trotter.
They have five.
Who's the fifth besides the three defensive backs?
Ike Reese.
Well, he's a special teamer.
He plays in defense.
Not much.
If you were to pick a strength of the Philadelphia defense, what would it be?
When does he play on defense?
I don't know. When I watch highlights, I see Ike Reese on the field.
He's no higher than their fifth linebacker.
Who cares?
He doesn't play that much.
Brian, who cares?
He's a special teams Pro Bowler.
If you were to
is what he is.
Brian,
I'm not arguing that, but he plays defense.
If you were to pick a strength of the Philadelphia defense, what would you pick?
The secondary.
What are they best at?
Based on the fact that they have three Pro Bowlers, I would say the secondary. But what do
so
I
you're
say they're
throw
best
the ball.
At? Their pass rush.
Right. I would say their pass rush and their pass defense. So if I'm on the Patriots, I'm running.
But I think that their run defense is solid.
I think
it's ranking.
We understand you think they play defense well, all around great. But you just said you thought their pass rush and their secondary were their
run,
two strengths.
Why wouldn't
you run the ball at them?
I want to run out of the spread formations. I want to come out with the wide receivers. I want to spread the field, and that's how I want to run the ball. I don't just want to line up.
So you
with
have
two
no
tight
plan
ends.
On passing out of that.
Sure, of course I do. But I think you can run play action out of that just as effectively.
I think Philadelphia.
Next topic.
I have two ways of going about this. If the Patriots get the ball first and they win the toss, then I agree with Brian. I think you do whatever you have to do to move the ball and move the chains and at least get into their side of the field, maybe within scoring. You know, obviously you're going for the touchdown, but you want to move the chains and get in, start winning the field position battle, and that might mean high percentage, short passes, quick slants. You know, just to keep the field open. But if they get the ball first, I want to see how my defense does. If my defense stops them three and out or keeps them on their side of the field, then when I get the ball back, I'll be happy to pound it right at them without spreading it. But to me, it depends on who gets the ball first.
But I just feel like you're assuming you're not going to be able to run the ball with that theory.
No, I don't think so. As good as Corey Dillon is, I don't think the Patriots have a dominant running attack. I don't think their offensive line is that good where you can just line up.
They certainly weren't dominant against the Steelers.
No, well, and no one is.
Right.
No one is.
But I think you can run against this team. I think you can run at Javon Curse. I think you can run at Derek Burgess.
I think you can run at both defensive ends.
I'd like to try my chances with that because if I can do
right,
that, I think the game just swings in my favor.
Maybe I'm a little bit
especially
too worried,
with Danny
but Graham. My main concern is falling behind. I don't want to fall behind.
I think that's kind of a defeatist approach. Let's
I know,
take it to
but
him.
I want to do whatever I
take
can.
Take it to him. Do what we
to,
do.
To
we Corey Dillon's run
edge,
all year.
Even if it's not on the scoreboard, in the field position battle.
So you're willing to take chances. I mean, it seems
yes.
like you're going into this game with some fear.
I'm willing to take some chances.
And Andy,
that's not fear.
I think you go into this game as the team to beat. Saying I can do what I want to the Eagles, and I'm going to run the ball.
Andy, what you're speaking to,
with Tom Brady is taking chances.
That's not. That's high percentage for the Patriots.
Andy, what you're speaking to is to me, it's exactly what Pittsburgh does. Is this is our game plan? This is what we're going to do until we can't do it anymore.
Right, and I don't think the Patriots are that good and aren't running.
That's a defeatist approach. I go in with the theory
I know,
can do what I want to do.
What game? Maybe
I'm never happy.
What game have the Patriots opened up and just first two possessions, just all they've done is run? They never do that. They just don't do that.
No, but they've come out. I mean, I will say this. They've come out in two tight end stuff and run a really balanced run balance, first attack.
Yeah. I think probably the Miami game at home.
I don't remember, but yeah, okay. I mean, they did
top of my head.
Right.
That's true. One interesting thing I just wanted to bring up from the Philadelphia Eagles media day today, I was talking with special teams coach John Harbaugh for a considerable length of time, and we ended up talking about the kickers, and he said there's absolutely no question these are the best two kickers in the NFL. Oh, yeah. And I had brought up the fact, you know, Bill Belichick will often say if I would want no other kicker than Adam Vinatieri. And he said, I feel the same way, and if I couldn't have David Akers, I'd want Vinatieri. And it, you know, it's kind of an interesting fact, and we've seen so many playoff games, so many close games come down to special teams. I would not at all be surprised to see that one of those kickers on, you know, on the field to win the game.
All four Pro Bowl special teamers are playing in this game.
That's true. Ike Reese, Larry Izzo, Akers, and Vinatieri.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I shouldn't say all four. Four of six.
I was going to say there's two long snappers that were added.
And they don't, but they don't pick returners, right? Do they? Yeah, I guess they do.
Westbrook, I know, is in the Pro Bowl. I mean, I don't know who, if there's
I don't
a
think
he can't
returner.
Be as a returner.
They
don't
no, pick, he's in as he replaced Sean
they don't
Alexander.
Pick, I don't think they pick returners.
I thought they might have.
No, no, what? No, Allen Rossum from the Atlanta Falcons was just brought in last week.
Yeah, you know what?
There's one return guy.
Up,
there's
I don't know what I'm talking
there's
about.
One return guy for each conference.
Thank you. Truer words never spoken.
Wow. Bobby in Coventry, Rhode Island. Are Ty Law and Ty Poole with the team in Jacksonville?
No.
I don't know.
No.
They aren't?
I don't believe so. I believe they'd be coming down on Thursday.
Okay, so they're not here.
That's right, because Dan Klecko's not here. He's on IR.
Right, and I heard somebody say, I heard Romeo, somebody asked Romeo about Ty, and he said, no, Ty's not down here yet.
Jennifer says, when is Gare getting his own website? He could have the best of sound bites. He could provide playlists from the game.
I kiss you.
I think that should be something that should be looked into. How does Gare feel about long-distance relationships? Just kidding. Remember, Vicodin. Oh, Gary. And not that Dan, I know anything Gary about Dudek's like mother personally, but from my personal interaction with Jewish mothers, I'm assuming he's Jewish from Fred's comments, I could definitely see his mother setting him up on dates. Most Jewish mothers I know seem to be big on that.
Thank you. I know Mrs. Lowe is very big on it. She's always.
You can check him out on DaveDudek.com. And speaking of Dave's website, Angel from Richmond, Virginia writes in, enjoy the Super Bowl entries. Looking forward to the photos from Media Day. He's posting those. And in answer to your question, yes, I'm female. And with the exception of this Sunday, a happily married one. I married an Eagles fan, so we are attending separate parties. And if the Eagles win, I may have to change the locks. As for getting Dave a woman, you can always follow Brady around and pick up from the cast-offs. You can check him out on DaveDudek.com.
Speaking of that, that was an interesting thing that was brought up today to Ted Johnson. Somebody asked him if he gets, if Brady is generous with his, not talking women, but cast-offs in terms of anything, freebies, Gap clothing from his Gap contract and anything. And Ted Johnson said, no, he hoards it. He doesn't give anything to us.
Wow.
That was funny.
Okay.
Okay, you guys didn't like it. Screw you.
Bob, did you get your credential?
You do know we're doing a radio program.
Yeah, you're still
boring.
Fred, you're still on the air.
Freddy, running a radio program.
Okay. Jim from Roanoke. Jim from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. First question of the game, do you think it is more important for the Patriots to come out on offense first or on defense?
I don't think it matters. I mean, that's a coin toss. I mean, does it... do I want the ball first? I want the ball first. Who
okay.
doesn't want the ball first?
Yeah,
Fred always says whenever the coin toss happens, like, he gets excited if the Patriots win the toss, and if they lose the toss, he's like, good, I wanted the defense out there first.
Well, I always look at it, half, you know, the glass half full. I try to make a positive out of it. I am.
Where's Craig been this week?
I am always more...
He works the days now.
He got a new job.
I am always interested to see how my defense comes out and plays against the opponent's offense. To me, that sets the tone for how I'm going to watch the game. Because if they drive down the field on that first, whether they score or not, from that point on, I'm nervous.
I'm
like, oh, God.
On the flip side, wouldn't you be equally excited if your offense came out and drove right down the field on the opposing defense?
I do, but if they're going to keep doing it too, then I'm nervous. You know, I want to see if I can stop them. Because if you can stop the other team, then the pressure's off. You know, then you don't have to score every time.
I want the ball first every time.
You know, okay.
Me too.
You know, I'm not so worried about it. I'd just as soon have it, you know, to begin the second half. I think there's an advantage to that. You know? Don't you think so?
No.
Okay. All right.
I think the advantage is to have the ball first and try to get points on the board first.
I think the advantage is to have the most points at the end.
That's the bottom line.
It is.
That's the bottom line. If you don't score more points at the end of four quarters, you lose. Bottom line.
Little programming notes. Tomorrow, we're back at our noontime slot, PFW in progress, at noon tomorrow from noon to 2. The Patriots press conference is what time tomorrow? Bill Belichick's press conference.
Right
outside here, but we'll have it live on Patriots.com as well as Andy Reid, courtesy of the NFL Network. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. It's pretty cool. It's basically you've got the NFL Network on Patriots.com, even if you're cable
on
company.
TV? No. Video version?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we get the whole thing, Andy.
Commercials and all? No, I can't even open an attachment on my email. I assumed I couldn't get video on my computer.
No, with everything. 10:30 is the Patriots press conference tomorrow. 10:30 in the morning.
Frank, when you go to the Eagles, can you wait?
And the Eagles are what, 1:30 or something like that? Oh, Eagles are 8 o'clock in the morning. you got to get up early if you want to see Andy Reid. But the Patriots are at 10:30 tomorrow, and that'll be from the team hotel in Jacksonville.
How's that short straw treating you, Frank?
They actually set up this big, huge tent outside the hotel, and that's where they're doing all the player availability and the coaches' press conference. And so tomorrow, which is Wednesday and Thursday, it'll emanate from that tent. On Friday, they do everything from the NFL headquarters because that's when Paul Tagliabue will do his State of the League address. And everyone will...
Oh, it was exciting.
Everyone will be afraid to ask the tough questions. Although, no, what last year they asked some tough questions last year.
And what are the tough questions this year?
Why Jacksonville?
Why here? Why now?
I would like to hear somebody ask that question.
Yeah! You'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Let's see. So, let's sack up, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the question into your guy, Tony Dungy. So now it's your turn.
By the way, just for accountability purposes, Andy tried to do the same thing to me. Yes, they pressure me into asking a question. I was denied the chance to ask the
question. And you weren't going to ask that question.
I was, too.
What question were you going to ask about
PK Sam?
Yeah.
Why is that a tough question to ask?
Brian, why is that a tough question to ask?
I wasn't saying it was tough. I was saying that Andy was...
I don't know. You claimed you weren't going to ask it
yesterday. I think I'm more talking about the guys, other guys. Why wasn't that question asked by anyone? Doesn't anyone care?
I think people know what kind of answer they're going to get.
Yeah, they've been beaten into submission.
Well, I think tomorrow...
It's true.
Tomorrow will be the first...
I don't think they care.
Tomorrow, believe it or not, will be the first time the coaches are available, other than...
Today?
You know, today at Media Day, which is a little bit more informal. But tomorrow, they'll all be at a table, you know, with signs, so you can go up to any coach you want.
And my recorder might work tomorrow.
So maybe, you know, maybe you go up to the wide receivers coach and ask him that.
Maybe.
You know? Meow. Because I'd like to know what happened with PK Sam. Why does a guy go? Why do you bother taking a guy off ER and put him on that list? Did I say ER?
Because he wanted to start a film career.
is NBC sick of him? What's going on?
You know, why did that happen?
I'll try to find that out.
Conduct detriment to the team. I said, what was it?
It was a violation of team rules. I will try. You know, I'll try to ask the wide receivers coach. If he tells me, he's going to get in trouble.
Doug from Blackstone wants to know what was the problem with the field.
And it was wet and slippery. They were going half speed, and guys were falling down all over the place.
All right. And Pan from Culpeper, Virginia says, I don't know about you guys, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing about T.O. They're making way too big a deal about him. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about him. Let's hear about other stuff.
We've heard about plenty of other stuff. Rodney Harrison had his days early in the week where he got to pop off continually about Freddie Mitchell.
I kind of felt the same way where I was a little tired of the TO, and then I thought to myself, what if Tom Brady were injured?
Right.
And might be coming back for this game.
Or
it'd be the same thing.
Or the perfect example, Corey Dillon. I mean, the big offseason move that's made you such a great team, great offense, a better team, if he could go or not go, and what that does to your team.
Just go back to 2001 when Bledsoe finished the AFC Championship game and Brady was hurt. I mean, the first 3 days of Super Bowl week, until Bill came out on Wednesday night and released a statement.
And why did he do that?
Why did he do what?
Why did he release that statement? Because he hated Drew
Bledsoe. Oh.
Why?
Why did he? Why do you think he released a statement saying that Brady was going to start?
Because Brady practiced and he was confident he could play.
But right. Why tell anyone?
He had to.
Why? You'd have to announce who your starting quarterback is. Why did he do that?
Relieve the pressure from the media and all the questioning and everything.
Okay. Seems that the Eagles don't care about that. They want all
Didn't
the
Andy
questions.
Reid say he was going to play? I thought they've said he was going to play.
They're now saying he's definitely going to play?
Barring setbacks or whatever, he's going to play.
No. Andy Reid said yesterday that Owens is day-to-day, and they're going to determine later in the week what exactly the situation is. Terrell Owens said today, I'm going to play.
Oh, okay.
See, they said he's going to play. But the decision, I mean, you know, if you want to believe him at face value, that's fine, but I don't think the decision is necessarily all his. All
right, well, I'm sure we'll find out more about Terrell Owens, because by the time you'll hear PFW Progress at noon, the Eagles will have already had their press conference. So tomorrow, join us back here on Patriots.com Radio.